Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
You know that phrase, okay, boomer? It's a younger generation's retort to ideas they consider outdated or off-base. Ideas like, millennials are entitled and don't work hard. The response, okay, boomer, short for baby boomer. Well, a 25-year-old New Zealand lawmaker recently silenced older hecklers during her speech on climate change.
The average age of this 52nd parliament is 49 years old. Okay, boomer.
Now, some employers are cautioning against using this phrase at work, fearing it could lead to claims of age discrimination. Here's NPR's Yuki Noguchi.
30-year-old social media manager Sophie Virschbau has seen her share of OK Boomer memes in recent weeks. To her, the sentiment behind them is this.
I think it's sort of a dismissive, like, OK, whatever you say, like, just spout whatever you want to say as someone who doesn't get what we're talking about.
There's backlash, too, including from those comparing OK Boomer to racial slurs. Last week, the AARP, the group most identified with boomers, weighed in. That did not go well. These warring posts and the social commentary around them suggest a yawning gap between the old and young. They speak to different attitudes about social and political change and raise questions about how deep those differences go. Virschbau works at a book publisher in New York. She likes working with boomers, but says there can be issues.
These younger generations keep feeling very misunderstood.
Outside of family, the workplace is where generations interact the most. People are living and therefore working longer than ever. So for the first time in history, the workforce now spans five generations, from the silent generation in their 70s and 80s to Generation Z, just entering their 20s. Work is also where many social issues play out, presenting the potential for generational debate over everything from gender-neutral bathrooms to the Me Too movement. But Virschbau says discussing age at work, even where it's professionally relevant, can be tricky. For example, she says she once noted during a meeting how her age cohort shops differently.
I was literally called ageist.
She felt silenced, she says, aware that she's not the one in a position of power. That still lies with her elders.
I think these are really sensitive issues that are super difficult to discuss in the workplace, even when they're vital to the work you're doing.
Kashti Khan is 22 and sells advertising for the Houston Chronicle. She says she has a lot in common with the baby boomer she worked with directly. But outside that circle, that's not always true.
People say things like, oh, you look good today, like, you know, an older man. And I'm like, that's such a weird thing to say.
She thinks, okay, boomer, to herself, when colleagues don't understand the concept of a fluid gender identity.
They'll say something like, you know, there are only two genders. And I mean, I understand that that's how they were raised, but that kind of stuff just doesn't fly now.
Megan Johnson is a consultant for companies on generational differences. Johnson, who is Gen X, by the way, says older workers need to figure out how to pass the baton.
Unless the older generation really lets their ego down and allows the younger generation to come on board and challenge the way they do things, there's going to be this disconnect.
Of course, generational griping and stereotyping are nothing new. Remember when Gen Xers were called slackers? So not everyone agrees that OK Boomer speaks to deep underlying tensions.
I have to tell you, I was a little surprised by it.
Susan Weinstock is a boomer herself and a vice president at AARP, which advocates for people 50 and older.
Because we have a lot of research that shows how much workers actually like to work together, no matter the generation.
So it might be that OK Boomer is just another example of how social media sows a sense of discord, the way it has in politics. In fact, AARP unwittingly played a role in that last week. Another executive at the group was quoted saying, OK, millennials, but we're the people that actually have the money. That, too, went viral under, what else, the hashtag OK Boomer. Later, AARP responded to the meme it inspired, saying social media took the statement out of context. The group said it meant to say, don't overlook or dismiss boomers. Don't let stereotypes like that divide us. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Hey, Daily Buzz. My name's Connie Elkin. I'm here at the Amazon 4-star store in Seattle, getting really pumped for Black Friday and Cyber Monday weekend.
What is the human cost of Amazon's convenience? The company delivers products from its warehouses to your door in days or even hours. Investigative reporters have found that drive for speed leaves Amazon warehouse employees with chronic pain and crippling injuries. They suffer serious injuries at more than double the industry average. We will tell you now that Amazon is a financial supporter of NPR News, and we are raising these questions about Amazon all the same, which is how it should work. The investigation came from the Center for Investigative Reporting, which publishes the program Reveal. Will Evans is one of the reporters leading this coverage. He joins us via Skype. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to work through one case that you examined here in a warehouse in Indiana. What happened there?
So there's a worker named Philip Lee Terry. He's a 59-year-old grandfather. He was working on a forklift, and when the it fell on him, basically, and crushed him to death. There was a Indiana OSHA inspector who came in to investigate the death and found that there were some serious safety lapses.
OSHA, that's for workplace safety. Now, when you talk about safety lapses, is that connected in some way to the drive to fulfill orders quickly?
Well, we found broadly that the drive to fulfill orders quickly is injuring, hundreds, thousands of workers at very high injury rates. In this particular case, the problem seemed to be that he wasn't properly trained. That's what the OSHA inspector said. That's what some of the other workers there said. And it was interesting that case because Indiana was at the same time bidding for Amazon's second headquarters to come to the state. And the inspector said he got political pressure to back off the case. And in the end, Indiana ended up deleting the safety citations.
Wow. Okay. So we have so much money on the line that it is difficult to look into this. What is it about the nature of fulfilling orders quickly in an Amazon warehouse that gets people hurt?
So the workers are held to these very high production quotas, processing hundreds of items an hour for up to 12-hour shifts. They know that if they don't keep up, they can be fired. And so they're basically sacrificing their bodies, either through repetitive stress injuries or strains and sprains. The speed seems to be the key element, and the former safety managers at Amazon that we talked to said they basically can't protect the workers when the production demands are so high.
Let's listen to one worker, Candace Dixon, who had a job in Southern California.
For Amazon, all they care about is getting the job done and getting it out fast and not realizing how it's affecting us and our own bodies.
Aren't Amazon warehouses, though, supposed to have the very latest technology, robots to help retrieve packages, things that are supposed to make this a much easier job?
Yeah, it's interesting. The robots bring the items to the workers so the workers don't have to walk around for miles to find things. But because that's so efficient and the robots are so fast, the workers are held to much higher production quotas. So they have to go faster and faster. And as one former safety manager told me, humans are basically tapping out. They can't keep up.
And trying to turn people into robots and they can't quite do it.
That's right.
Mr. Evans, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Will Evans is a reporter for the Reveal team at the Center for Investigative Reporting.
College don't mean shit. Y'all niggas. And you gon' be niggas forever, just like us, niggas.
Dude, you're
Jordy.
The racist and unhinged rant caught on video took place in the lobby of the City Club Hotel, according to a lawsuit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court. The woman going off is 41-year-old Michelle Rajasic.
You just work here. I'm paying you. Actually, my boyfriend's family.
All I need is an ID.
According to police, she proceeded to punch the receptionist in the face, also allegedly spitting on her.
That is not an ID.
Dirty hood rat.
She demanded me to give her a key to someone else's room. Well, you know it. If you're going to come to a hotel, ID is required.
Listen, as 36-year-old Linda Shell somehow keeps her cool.
Ma'am, your credit card is not considered ID.
No, it's just my name and it's on the room. I know your ghetto.
I'm not from the ghetto.
And I made sure to keep calling her ma'am because I'm not going to lose myself because you lost yourself. Once she hit me, it kind of gave my body the whiplash effect. My glasses flew off my face. She ended up breaking two discs in my neck, which I have a scar from.
Police arrested Rajasic, and she was convicted of third-degree assault. But to add insult to injury,
they were comped their room as if nothing ever happened.
So she quit her job. The hotel denies that claim, saying they only offered Rajasic's male companion a room for the night because of the police investigation. In a statement, the hotel said, the woman never returned to the property. At no point was she given a comped room. We cooperated fully with the police investigation. The City Club never welcomed her back.
She thinks she's above everyone else and she can talk down to people. And we're going to show her that that's not the case.
According to Shell, Rajasic had her ID on her, but chose to only show a credit card.
With no picture, nothing on it, just my credit card should be enough for you. But if you're at a hotel and you didn't pay for it, your ID still is important.
City Club Hotel here on West 44th Street was not named in the lawsuit. Linda says that she has left the service industry because of the incident. Meanwhile, Ms. Rajasic will have to respond within 30 days to the lawsuit. In Midtown, I'm Cristian Benavides, Pix 11 News.
Context of white supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, and for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Nigger Friday. I don't do holidays, but if I did, this might be pretty high up on the list. Nigger Friday. I've been calling it that for some time. I think that is appropriate for what the day is. They say the term nigger in addition to using it to brand individuals classified as black. Part of it, they'll say, is the system of white supremacy conditions black people to have very limited world view, very small way of thinking, not thinking about the big universe, the big world, just very narrow, limited, skimpy view of life and what your role in all of this is supposed to be. That is Nigger Friday. Just very limited view. I'm going to go out, scrap and fight and brawl. That's what niggers do. Go out, fight, brat, scrawl, get someone in the camel clutch for a sweater or an iPhone or some other nonsense. Go out and put three or four people in a headlock so that I can get this, that. Nigger Friday. That's Nigger Friday. Anywho, officially, I believe it is Friday, November 29, 2019, so I've been told. Still neutralizing workplace racism. I know many folks got Nigger Friday off to go out and, as I said, brawl and fight over nonsense, merchandise that we do not need for white Jesus' birthday rapidly approaching. If you did have to work, definitely a time to be codified with all of the nonsense that will be discussed on the job both today and for the next 30 days. Everyone should be brushed up and prepared on their holiday code, questions, invites, all of that, hugs. We talked about that last week, being prepared. If we have folks, this is not a broadcast for spectators. If we have listeners, if you have figured out a code, you are not nagged during the holidays. They already know you don't celebrate Kwanzaa, Christmas, nothing that's happening at this time of year. Thanksgiving, Nigger Friday, none of it. They already know. So they don't come up and ask you to come participate in lighting the Christmas tree. They don't come and ask you to participate in White Santa, none of that. White Elephant, think they got a whole lot of those little goofy traditions. You don't have to participate in any of that. You don't have to participate in putting any money in for a gift, none of that. You already got the code. They'll come and invite you for the Christmas party. Come on down. Going to be at Barney's, the bar on the corner. Starts at 7. They don't wait a minute. Forgot. Miss Johnson, she doesn't do all that. She don't drink. Very serious. Great worker. Just doesn't do all that. Ted, he's great. He's been with us for a while. Dante, outstanding. Just doesn't do all the holiday. We'll see you next year. 2020. Ready to go. All right. If you have figured that out, please dial in 605-313-5164. The code 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you figured out codification for the holidays or anything else, how not to be bothered about time off, vacation days, you don't have problems with them following policy and procedure with regards to your safety in the workplace or adequate training. You don't have any of those issues. Absolutely. Be the first one to dial in. Let us know how you did that so that we can replicate your, I guess, relatively stress-free work environment. As always, if we have any victims, if you have difficulties, if you're having problems and you would appreciate a counter-racist perspective, dial in and we will do our best to offer counter-racist suggestions that help solve problems without creating new problems. That number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. As always, if you are not able to dial in, you need to make sure you maintain some sort of anonymity. You can always email untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. And we can share your commentary on the air without a name. If you have questions, we can submit and people can offer suggestions. If you have suggestions, then we can just read your commentary. If you are in the category of a non-white person, you have figured it out. You don't have to deal with any sort of terrorism, no trashy antics on the job. You are well compensated, well taken care of at all times. Well, then absolutely, you can drop us an email on that as well. untiljustice@gmail.com. A few things on the audio segments that we heard at the beginning. I'll start at the end. The white woman, race soldier, goes to the hotel, terrorizes a black female, assaults her, spits on her, calls her a nigger, a hood rat, all these other racist terms. She had identification, but she would not show it. Standard operating procedure at a hotel, at many other facilities, in fact. Identification. All I need. Just, you know, verify. Okay, right on, ma'am. We'll get you to your... Not that I don't have ID. I just don't, you know, feel like I need to dignify this nigger's request here, as she called her. I don't need to dignify her request and show her my identification. That's one of those, the shirt, please treat me like I am a white person. If that white woman, race soldier, if she were not racist, if she had just been talking to another individual who's classified as white, I think her conduct would have been 1,000% different. It would have been no exchange. She would have whipped her ID out, went on to her room, and that would have been that. That segment right there, important for a number of reasons. Number one, it's not the man. You don't have a system of white supremacy racism without racist women. Said that for the 2016 election, said in the context of me being terrorized at the yoga studios, many different settings throughout history. You would not have this problem if white women were not totally on board, equal partners in terrorizing black people. Another illustration, also important, almost every installment of workplace racism, I say, the most important component of a counter-racist code is composure. If you allow your frustration, anger, your emotions to dictate your response, what you're going to say, how you're going to behave, things generally are not going to go well. At least I don't think on a consistent basis. It really takes being logical. It really takes because, you know, anything might happen. You might have a white woman or a white man who's coming in and being loud and rowdy and calling you names. That is very common in the system of white supremacy. So you all really want to be thinking, if this type of thing happens, what am I going to do? And she did a phenomenal job. You heard it in the recording of staying calm. What did you call me? What? She didn't do all that. Ma'am, just need your identification, ma'am. Your credit card is not going to be a valid form of identification, ma'am. Stayed calm. They have video. You can see her body language. She's all not pointing up in the white woman's face and that sort of thing. That is super important. Now, I will also say it is equally important. We did read Gavin De Becker, The Gift of Fear. We read that in the book club for a reason. It is important to recognize, whoa, this heifer is not just, you know, doing a little too much. This heifer looks like she might be dangerous. I need to call security. I need to get extra space. Because I have said before, sometimes it needs to be, what needs to be said is, whoa, your conduct right now is making me feel unsafe. I'm going to excuse myself from this dialogue. Because it doesn't seem productive or safe. And that's it. That might be the appropriate stance, because I'm pretty sure this looked like a hotel. Well, they probably had security. Like, oh, yeah, she is doing a whole lot, and I still don't have identification. Like, she might even be trespassing. Who knows? She might not even be authorized to be here. I'm going to go ahead and call security. I think that is extremely important, because we're in a system where violence is so common. And that's the main quote. That's why I brought the book up. That's what Gavin De Becker says, that he says that we, you know, often are told or encouraged to think that violence is just this random thing and it can't be predicted. And he says, oh, no, a lot of times you can see things that are leading up to where, this person's looking like they might, you know, be into doing something violent. And I think also sometimes we might think that white women they're the victims of violence. We've heard it's patriarchy. You got that no good scoundrel Bill Cosby, and you know, they just doing all this. Tiger Woods, they said the 10-year anniversary of Tiger Woods. He's out no good at scum of the earth. They're out just taking advantage of all these women. We do not have a system of patriarchy. These white women are very capable of carrying out violence and do. And I think that was a part of Tiger Woods 2009. I think she struck him with a blunt object. I think that was what it was. He was trying to abscond, escape the premises after he had been assaulted by her. I think she struck him with a golf club. His ex-wife was a nanny. He was a billionaire. Anywho, I think that is a part of it, us not thinking that white women are violent. And it might extend to whites in general, thinking that they are not violent. But I definitely think in a workplace context that is important to kind of recognize that. What are signs that a person might be escalating, and when the best thing to do, extricate yourself from that situation, security, maybe even a call to 911 or enforcement agency, and, you know, get other witnesses to make sure that you are safe. I keep using that word, safe, safe. We'll see how the lawsuit goes. I'd also say that's kind of a lax one with the hotel, because I'm pretty sure they have security. That situation went on for a while. If you have other coworkers, what do they say? What's the new American classic? I got your back. your coworkers. This is a family. Isn't that what they're saying this time of year at the office party and all that other nonsense? We're a family. You got my back. You're supposed to be looking. That's what I've heard. You're supposed to be looking. You see this, where this heifer has come up here, and I'm not going to show you. I got my credit card, and you hood rat, and no good nigger this. Whoa. We got this racist stuff. Let me get on the phone and call security. She's not – make sure everybody is that. That's what I've been told is supposed to happen, especially when you're in public settings where you got all kinds of people that might be coming in. You know, somebody might be intoxicated, on drugs. You never know. That sort of thing. I can also see racism being manifest in where that doesn't happen. They don't have your back. If you're a black person in a workplace setting, that too is why I regularly say you have to be most responsible for your safety in the workplace. And I mean, take it seriously, because that sort of thing is very, very common. Black people being assaulted, period. And then even within the specific service industry context of, you know, hotels and that type of thing, I've seen a lot of different sides. It was even one that was very popular. It was like a random white woman. I don't even think she was a guest at the hotel. This was a employee. He was standing out front of the hotel, as is done sometimes. And this random race woman, and this was a racist white woman too. She came up, she spit on him. She was calling him all kinds of racist names. And it was the same thing. It went on for a long time. Her misconduct with other people who work at the hotel should have been seeing this and be like, oh, wait a minute. We got a potential. Let me get on my bust out that iPhone I just got for Nigger Friday. Hey, Bobby, send down extra security. Maybe even call the police. We got some staggering haggard race woman. Yeah, she's messing with Alonzo. I called him a nigger myself this morning, but he is on the clock, and I'm not even sure she's a guest here. Can you call the police? That's what's supposed to happen. Didn't happen in this case either. Next, they played the segment Workplace Safety. They talked about Amazon. I know we have Cal's listeners who have called in specifically to workplace racism to discuss their ill treatment while being employed at Amazon, discussing some of those very same issues. What did we hear like clockwork? Not being trained correctly. Don't we hear that about every week? And not just every week. We generally hear that like, you know, 2-3 times every week. It'll be some manifestation of somewhere along all of this tackiness and me being mistreated and things there being major problems. I didn't get trained correctly. And I knew I wasn't being trained correctly. And I, you know, went to say something about that, that, you know, I'm not getting adequate information. My questions aren't being answered in a timely manner or at all sometimes. Like, what is going on here? And then I end up not being able to do well. And it's, I didn't get trained correctly. They rush you around. That's what they said. They rush you around, no regard for your safety. Just get it done. We got these numbers. You'll be fired. Get it done. Productivity. Said we got these robots. We got all this newfangled technology, which means you should be going even faster as opposed to let's make sure everyone is safe. We got Nigger Friday. We got to get these items out. Chop, chop, lash, lash. Get it out there. Any of those type of environments. Like I said, we've heard directly from Cal's listeners. Your safety is not worth it, period. The system of white supremacy regularly will have black people in those type of jobs where your health and well-being is going to be compromised. Recognize that immediately. That's why I said you want to try to get information. If you can see that, like, oh, wow, like, how many people did you have injured at this site last year? You know, just to geek, those might be great information. If that's information, if you can look online and see how many people were injured here, how many people, you know, reported health, how many people had to take out for sick illnesses, how many people got hurt on the job. These might be great questions to ask in the interview process so that you know. And if you've seen them, when you get on the job, you can ask people who've been working there, people who've been working there 6 months longer than you have, a year longer than you have, 5 years longer than you have. Safety, have you been injured on the job? What happened to you? How long were you? That type of thing. So that you know the type of environment that you're in, because there's tons of jobs like that where it's total disregard for your safety and well-being, especially if you are Black. Let's see. The OK Boomer, I kind of had that at the beginning. I feel like white people will have those type of segments to suggest that there's some sort of strife between older white people and younger white people in workplace settings. White people argue for any reason, for no reason at all. That is very common. But at the end of the day, there is not that much disunity at all. Old white people, young white people, white males, white females, they generally get things together along lines of racism, white supremacy. But don't be confused by the subterfuge. The problem remains white supremacy, racism. Let's see. I'll give out the email again, and then I can get to me going first for workplace racism. If you are not able to dial in, email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. I can share your thoughts if you have suggestions, things you would do, things you would not do if you've been working on your pregnancy code for the workplace. Awesome. If you have commentary on what's been shared, or if you are having problems in the workplace and you would like a few thoughts, counter-racist suggestions on how you can go about trying to remedy your situation, untiljustice@gmail.com. All right, me first for workplace racism. So, yoga instructor, been talking about that. Incidentally, I would say again, you know, take things, try to be serious, learn things about everything. Me teaching yoga did not start out as me saying, yes, I would like to be a cool yoga instructor in the Pacific Northwest. So I worked, holidays throwing my days off. I worked at the beginning of the week, and I was not teaching. I was just filling in. You want to try to get expertise, so they say, so you can say that you are skilled, you know, the software for checking people in, new clients and all of that, and just filling in general, so that way you get to see some of the other clients at the studio. You can woo them, tell them about your class, what you can offer, that sort of thing. Can be good for your practice as an instructor. So I'm filling in on Monday. I don't have to teach. I'm just checking folks in, hang out, prop my feet up at the computer, and chill out in between classes. Make sure everybody's checked in. If it's a new student, make sure they, you know, do what they're supposed to do, sign the waiver release, and, you know, all the jazz. Show them the studio if they haven't seen it. So, uneventful. Actually, it was pretty. I had a warm glass of tea. It was nice and warm. It's been cold here, not snowy, but like cold, 35 degrees. Anything below like 55, in my view, is frigid. And so it's been like 35 degrees. So, whew, really cold. But I was warm, snug, and not teaching. Almost done. And a white woman who works there, she stops in briefly. And I hadn't met her before. I didn't know her. It's just like, oh, okay, right. So we're sitting there. And somehow, I'm even trying to remember how, okay, this is how it came up. I'm trying to think, how did racism come up? So she is allegedly about to leave. And she did leave shortly after all of this. But she comes in. She's strapping her boots on and everything, making sure she doesn't leave anything so she can exit. And she says, when do you teach? And I said, oh, I teach Sunday, meaning this coming Sunday, which I do. I teach Sunday, and then I normally teach morning class that's heated. She says, oh, my goodness, the heated. I just can't do it. I just can't do it at all. It's like, oh, okay. Then. Yeah, I normally teach the heated class. She's like, oh, it's because you're Black. That's how it came up. That was exactly it. And I thought, oh, wow, wait till workplace racism comes on Friday. And she says, yeah, I can't do it at all. That the heated class is like, oh, man, like I'm just so pale. I just can't do it. She says, in fact, my doctor even says that. My doctor told me, oh, no, you can't do that heated stuff. You're so pale. Look at you. You're so white. Look at that. She says, even my eyes, I'm blue. And She said, put it on Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, the ISIS papers, geese to the color. She said, look at my eyes. They're so pale. I am the American flag, red, white, and blue. My jaw was on the floor. And she just kept right on rolling. I can't do the hoodie classes. My doctor, he said that. You're so pale, you just can't do it. She said, you can do those heated classes just because you're black. I said, I normally don't see a whole lot of black people in the heated yoga classes. And she said, oh, we have a lot of black people who practice yoga here. Now, you know, that could have been an opportunity for me to go into Gusmo and be like, now, let's look at how many people have been signed in this evening since I'm working the desk here. let's look at the statistics for the day and see how many Negroes do we have in class today. Let's see. But as I said, that is not your role in the workplace at all. If anything, you listen observantly. But she says, yeah, we have lots of black people. And then it pivoted from we have lots of black people and LGBT people, like, we're super diverse. We're all about that, being diverse, making it a welcome environment. That's what I said. And she just kept rolling right on talking about that. And she went back to the LGBT thing. She said, oh, yeah, thinking about that perspective and, you know, what it's like, you know, from the black perspective and making sure that we're inclusive. That's important. You know, want to make sure you're not just having one set of folks. I said, wow. I didn't say anything. Again, I thought, wow, workplace racism or Friday. Now, while all of this was happening, I also thought, man, I am not interested in talking about this at all. It is almost done. I only had to fill in for a limited amount of time. And it was cushy. Like, you don't have to work with anybody. Like, it's not like you're working. You're not at the Amazon factory, right? You're not working with 100 other people or 50 other people. You check people in for class. Generally, that's done within 15 to 20 minutes. They're in the class. Boop. You don't have anything else to do with them. You're just, if it's processing, if you have a little paperwork to do, boom, 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 do that. But you're chilling. In fact, I was chilling so much prior to this white woman coming to tell me that, you know, she cannot do hot yoga because she is pale, lacks melanin. I'm sitting here enjoying Lamar Jackson while I'm chilling. No more Lamar Jackson show for me. Football game from Monday night. No more Lamar Jackson for me. Interrupted all of that. And I said, at times, I totally get that. I feel like at times that happens in the workplace where white people, it's like they're, I am not racist and I will show this black person by coming to talk to them about racism. They will come. I've had this happen to me in workplace context in a variety of different settings where they'll come and just talk about all kinds of random things related to racism or not. It'll be O.J. Simpson, just depending on what's happened, Tiger Woods, just depending on what's happening. President Obama, just what's going on, you know, in the universe. LeBron James, Serena Williams, whatever the popular, you know, whoever the Negro of the week happens to be, or whatever Negro has gotten into some mischief, or if there's a new coon flick out, you know, that's what they'll want to talk about. But this is very common, I think, for white people to come and to approach a black person in a work setting. And it'll be some sort of dialogue like this, that they are not racist. I don't generally like these exchanges. Generally, this is the sort of thing where I can see where I generally can be the type of person to get in trouble to either say something back when I was more confused, to say something, to say a whole lot of things, to start talking and talking and talking, and you do not want to be making statements And this, that's where you can get in trouble. That's where it can end up being you say something and that ends up being reported to human resources and all of that. You do not want to do that. I would get in trouble even if I didn't say something for just being frustrated about even getting pulled into that sort of dialogue. Like, man, I'm here watching the game. Can't you just leave me in peace to watch Lamar Jackson? I don't want to hear about, you know, why you can't do hot yoga or why you think I can do hot yoga, because I am classified as black. Like, I am not interested in any of that. Do your business. That's not even what we're here for. We're here for yoga related matters. Do that and let's go about our business. Like, I definitely can see, yes, I would get in trouble for that formally. And I even paused while all of this was happening. I paused and thought, yeah, this is a part of codification, to not get frustrated or disgruntled, to pause if you need to take a breath. I think if I had really got frustrated, I probably would have got up and just said, I need to go to the restroom for a second. Like, I cannot believe she's just talking and talking. That's probably what I would have done. But this did not last super long. As I said, she was kind of getting her belongings together to exit, which she did promptly after a few minutes. Where I did take a breath or two, and then I returned to watching Lamar Jackson. But I said, man, I'm going to be ready for Friday to make sure that I talk about this. She talked so much, it would have been easy to ask questions about what exactly her doctor said. Did you get a second opinion about all of this? Are you sure about the number of black? I mean, lots and lots of questions. And what I said before, this is the sort of thing where there can be follow-up later. As to, well, you said there were a lot of black people here. I had thought about that. I've been here for, you know, a month or whatever, and I haven't seen such and such. I mean, a lot of ways you could take that. My general thought on that is I'm not interested in any of that. That is not on my objective. What problem are you trying to solve with this dialogue? If you can't come up with a reasonable answer where it seems likely that, oh, okay, this will happen as a result of having this dialogue, me asking these questions, me saying, you know, making this speech for the next 2 minutes, this, and this is going to happen. And these things will be constructed. They'll be to my benefit, these things that happen. If that's not going to be the case, yeah, I'm good. Let's get back to watching the game or, you know, whatever we're supposed to be doing. You know, we can fast forward through this whole conversation. That is the sort of thing, like I said, that I would make note of. And I come back to when they start talking about white people being ignorant about racism, white supremacy. No way. Let's see. Oh, yes. The people that wrote in, make sure. Oh, this is a question. Interesting. I guess people can respond to the question. So I'll read. It says, since we, as non-white people, should be engaged in the quote-unquote work of attempting to replace white supremacy with justice and correctness, should we observe the same counter white supremacy code at all times and in all places that we observe in our traditional workplaces? Maybe so. I will say that frequently a lot of the logic that I recommend and that I hear others, both on this program and other platforms, a lot of the logic that is shared for what to do regarding workplace racism, it'll be very similar to the suggestions that are given for non-work-related scenarios. A lot of times, logic is logic. It will work, you know, beyond. And I think I try to say that often. Questions often will work regardless if you're in a workplace or not. Asking questions regularly will be the best way to go, being mindful about what you say. A lot of the things that we talk about for the workplace, absolutely. So you're going to be codified, hopefully. The goal is that we have a counter-racist code in effect at all times. Regardless, it just might be that that code is a little different for the workplace. But absolutely, being codified, boom, hopefully at all times, in all places. That is the goal, and I think that'll be best for us going about solving this problem as soon as possible. With that, we will pick up some of the folks who dialed in. That number, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Not for spectators. If you have been working on your code for the holidays, definitely share. If you have any thoughts on what was discussed, Amazon workers, I guess if folks want to chime in, since we had the segment on that as well, feel free, *61 for the folks who are with us. Boop, boop, boop. We will go through the line. Hopefully it's been constructive for folks if you had time away from the plantation over the past few days. First few folks with a hand up, a line should be open. Feel free.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, Draptomania.
Greetings, guests, listeners, and callers. I wanted to report. I'm proud of myself because I was asked by one of the big guys at the boss of bosses. We were talking about the holidays. He asked me something in regards to how was I prepared to celebrate, you know, the holiday. And so I told him, I said, I really don't get into that. He said, what did you say? He said, I said, I don't get into it. So he asked me the question. He said, so you're telling me that you don't celebrate? I said, no, I don't celebrate the holiday. So then he said to me, what are you like? Again, kind of like a condescending, judgmental type of tone. So what are you, a Muslim or a Buddhist? I said, no, I'm neither. I said, I just don't celebrate any type of holidays. I said, that's just my personal choice. So he said, you're telling me you don't celebrate any holidays, no holidays at all? No, I don't celebrate any holidays. I said, it's just my personal preference. I have my reasons, but I just don't get into that. He said, I have never heard that before. You know, I've never heard of that at all. You know, that's just kind of unusual. So I said, when he said that to me, I didn't really say too much. But I said, well, you know, it's not anything that I feel ashamed about. You know, but I didn't get into the reasons. I didn't get into a whole, you know, the whole, because, you know, I feel like I don't have to justify, argue, defend, or explain my position to anyone if I say I don't do something. And especially considering the type of environment that I work in, it's supposed to be, you know, inclusive and accepting of other people's ideologies and, you know, whatever they're, you know, they're very accepting of as you was talking about the LGBT, that's being promoted all over. But you know, for some reason, I don't know what it is about when you don't have the same ideology when it comes down to religion or holidays and things like that. You know, because it just seems to be like I was getting a bunch of pushback. And the reason why I'm saying that I was proud of myself is because in the past, just recent past, like I would have felt, I felt like I was kind of getting pushback based on my belief system and it was somewhat made me feel like he was trying to make me feel, ashamed of me not being like everybody else and not fitting in, with what everybody else was doing. And because I am the only one that he's heard that doesn't celebrate any holidays, that I was supposed to then take on some shame because I'm not like everybody else. And I have had that type of incidents happen to me in the past, all throughout my life, with, you know, people trying to make me feel like invalidate my feelings. And when I'm not doing what like everybody else or what the you know, what everybody else, the crowd, is expected, or the main leader, or whatever you would call it, thinks is supposed to be done, then something, it's always made to appear like something is wrong with me because I'm not going a way of doing things. So I was really happy and I was proud of myself because I didn't allow myself to start feeling any shame or guilt, because that would have typically been, because I've been conditioned to feel that way, I would typically begin to feel like that. And another thing he has been doing for the last couple of days is bringing up trauma situations. Like, he said something to me the day before, and he says, yeah, I'm in a funk. He says, I don't know, something about the holidays. I said, well, you know, is it something, you know, I said, what is it? Did you lose somebody during the holidays or something like that? He said, no, I think it was some type of trauma or whatever. So I'm like taking note of this. Like, you know, I listen to a lot of traumas, you know, things on trauma and things like that, and I just found that to be mighty strange. So when he was asking me about the holiday, he said, well, was it some type of trauma? So I'm like, I'm noticing like a pattern now. Like, I'm like, why is he constantly bringing up this trauma thing to me all of a sudden, right? So I said, no, it's not any trauma. I said, it's just based on, you know, just my personal belief system. So I was happy about that. And also with the situation with the security guard, he was there again with the coworker. There was an event going on, so like I said, I'm just gonna you know, I'm falling back on it, and it could be a thing where you know, it's all orchestrated. I feel like that's what it is, and I'm not just gonna react to anything, because if I do, I could be acting out of you know, a premature, acting prematurely. So long as the person doesn't do anything to me, and like I said, he's there with that coworker, so, you know, it could be all a part of the procedure. So I'm not going to, you know, make any waves about it, whatever, as long as no boundaries are crossed or anything like that. I just have to, what I'm going to do is just continue to make note of it. And really, I mean, I guess maybe it may not be a policy where he can't be there or whatever, as long as he's not in there harassing me, whatever. I'm just going to keep my distance and don't even acknowledge him. And then, there was an incident also, where it's like things is like staged, like where they'll talk about each other. And like, you know, they're sitting around talking about each other, and then the next day they act like nothing has happened. But it's like, what it is, it's like entrapment. Like you were saying, like with the lady, the Caucasian lady that came to you, was making all these statements about the racism. It's the same premise where, you know, these people are coming to you talking about another individual, and I feel like it's a form of entrapment where they're trying to get you to have something to say about this individual, and it's really not that they have an issue with that person. It's really all about them trying to get you, draw you and drag you into some drama, just to get you to say something, so then it can be where you're the center of attention because you made a comment about this other individual. So they'll act as if they have problems with each other, but it's not sincere, it's not real, it's all fabricated, because then the very next day they act like they're friends again. So it's like, you know, it's like they make it obvious that, you know, it's all a setup. They just want you to have something to say, or they want you to get aggravated and have some type of comment, so then they can draw you and drag you into the nonsense. So, you know, My code is just don't say nothing. My code is don't run my mouth and don't talk about anybody. So therefore, when something happens, you can't say that Lori said anything. But I know that it's done intentionally and on purpose, just to see if they can aggravate you, because they like the drama, get you upset, or just to have the nonsense, because they thrive off of chaos. So those are my workplace racism incidents that happened this week, and thanks for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, Draptomania. Thank you kindly for sharing. Let's see. I guess those are kind of two different things. I'll take the portion that you talked about second. I'll take that first. I think that's important to be mindful of that because that comes up in so many different situations. Even if it's not like, you know, they're trying to set you up to say something, even if that's not it, like they're just coming up, you know, to sincerely talk about it. Even if that is what it is, it's still not in our best interest to just be running off at the mouth in the workplace, like at all. Like, I don't care what the situation is. My situation, what we just heard from Draftomania, none of them. They come up, what'd you have for Thanksgiving? That's not a situation either, where you just want to be running off at the mouth, how many relatives you had over and what you drunk. Absolutely not. Be mindful. That's a time you want to be stingy. You do not just want to be running off at the mouth because there's so many. And especially you talked about anything where it's going to be something trashy, where it's just gossiping and talking about somebody and other coworkers and all Fred got drunk for the holidays and ran it. What can we do to help that person? If it's not that, I am totally good. If it's just going to be, we're going to sit around and name call this person or she's, you know, just lame and why don't they fire her and blah, 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 and that sort of thing. Like, you know, come on. I don't need to be involved in that at all. That's why I said getting a reputation about that is outstanding as well, to just not participate and knowing when to be quiet. That stands out. And, you know, if it is the type of thing where they're trying to set up something where, you know, they can bring up a topic or something and then get you in on it and then make it seem like you're the one that was saying all these, you know, foul comments about such and such or this or that or the other, you don't fall for that either. I don't have anything to say about any of that. I always speak as though everybody's listening and what I say is going to be transcribed and recorded. So absolutely not. I reckon, oh, and with the security, that's important too, making sure that being super alert about our surrounding, especially if there's been any situation where you feel like there's some stalking or anything that makes you feel unsafe, keeping tabs on that, taking it super serious, even if it abets for a period of time, still being alert. That can be difficult because that's just human nature to kind of relax and, you know, after things kind of go back and fall into homeostasis, that's normal. But that's a part of a codification to just recognize that, you know, there's been a major safety threat. And even after a month, still want to be cognizant about that, investigate about that. If anything needs to be followed up on, outstanding. With, let me see, the first situation with the holidays, I always think it's important for victims of racism to not feel ashamed about any of our views, really, counter-racist or otherwise, because we're all, you know, just responding to the system of white supremacy. So that is outstanding. I do think in the workplace, I probably wouldn't want to have, like, even that, like, I was going to say a long dialogue, but you didn't have a long dialogue. But I would not want to have much of an exchange at all with a white person around holidays. I probably
Non-white, black.
I was about to, I didn't even get it out. I probably wouldn't even want much of an exchange with a non-white person around holidays in a workplace or that with the person that emailed, or even if it was not in a workplace, I probably would want a much of an exchange. Cause I could just, I could see where in a work environment, it is amazing the type of vendettas that people will carry where just anything like, you know, we have a different sports team. You know, I like the Cowboys and it seemed like you were rooting, you know, you were happy that they lost or something like, I mean, anything, you never know. You wear red a lot and I don't like red. You know, or you don't wear red, and that's my favorite color. And it seems like you don't have anything red. Yeah, it'll just be the most ridiculous things, not to mention the racism, but in addition, just really ridiculous things. And if you have some non-white person and it's, oh, you don't celebrate holidays. That's a major part of the conditioning of white supremacy, racism, and especially these holidays at the end of the year. Like, these are the ones that really count, like Valentine's Day and whatever, July 4th and Labor Day and St. Patrick's, Halloween, man. Christmas. That is a whole different story. Even Thanksgiving. These are big. And not participating in these can be a big problem. And I can even see on a job situation where another black person, like, what? What kind of crazy fool coon we got working here? And you don't say, I could see that. Like, I've seen that before. I would not even want that. Like, I would try and have as little to say as possible around that at all, especially if I've noted that this is a work environment that seems kind of toxic, a lot of anti-blackness. It would be super minimal. What are you doing for the holidays? Not much. Even if I know, like, I don't even celebrate the holidays. Not much. Just taking it easy. You? Right on. Have a great day. We keep it moving. That way we've eliminated all of that. No opportunity for rancor. I don't have to explain anything just because that is the power of racism, white supremacy. That just that. You didn't give a detailed explanation. There wasn't, you know, I'm going to support Minister Farrakhan over the holiday. It was none of that. Just, I don't settle. What did you say?
Yeah.
Man, I have seen that. Sadly, that is almost predictable. In a word, like I said, with a white person or a non-white person, I would try minimal, very minimal. I'm not doing anything, just taking it easy. And moving back on to something else, because it is the power of those holidays is just extraordinary, where that can end up being, it's raise time 6 months from now. And, you know, I remember that coon, she didn't even want to celebrate Christmas. And then she's talking about getting a veto. I vote against. No race. Absolutely not. I mean.
This is the big boss, too. And you know what, Gus? I kind of felt like, you know, he was asking me questions that was kind of inappropriate. Like, was it you don't have anybody to cook for? Was it some type of traumatic incident that happened to you in your childhood? Like, I'm like, what is, like, saying to myself, like, what the hell? Like, are you my therapist? Like, I just thought it was totally inappropriate. And then I felt like it was a judgment placed on me because I'm not. And I didn't give any long, like you said, like I didn't give him any information as to why, no explanation, none of that. It's just that I just don't. And you know what? And he said, okay, I'm gonna let it go like that. When really, I feel like, and this is my stance, I feel like once I said that, because when I say it to other people, it's never no problem. But because it's him and the way he is, you know, he's the big boss and he tends to be somewhat, you know, I don't know, like pushy or whatever. I don't know, kind of in his mannerism, kind of bullyish. That's the way that I could explain it. Like, I feel like I was being put in an uncomfortable situation based on his questioning me, and if he was trying to make me feel like I was doing something wrong just because I didn't subscribe to his way of doing things. You understand what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, I do. It's White Jesus' birthday, and all of this is connected. Like, it is so... I was just thinking, I mean, people have so many powerful memories, victims, and, of course, racists, but they have so much vested, especially the older you are, just often just seems it's more vested because you'll have experienced it more times, so you'll have more connected to it, and it disrupts all of that. Like, what? You're not, you know, doing, you're not going out to cook pies and all the rest of it and get presents, and what is wrong with you? And I don't even know if I want to be around you. Like, this is what the whole year has been about. It's been us waiting to get to this moment for these, you know, holidays here, and you acting like you don't want to do it, and it's what? I'm just disguised. I'm about to lose my appetite. I mean, that really, like, that's the way that it impacts a lot of people. Victims, like I said, victims or otherwise in a work setting like that. That's why last week when I played that segment where they said it can't have consequences. you even saying you don't want to go along with this in a workplace can be disruptive. You not want to do the Christmas party, it can be disruptive. You kind of have to catch, that's the environment that I'm in. Oh, I'll have to make sure I'm super cautious so I don't say all of this. Because when he said, well, I'm going to let it go. No, he's not. He's going to be like, oh, I remember that. I'm going to tell you, he probably went to talk to other people. That.
Mm-hmm.
He just really went and talked. And you, I thought she was, oh, you wait till I have seen that. I have seen that. Like, man, it can be, you have to be really careful. That's why I said you have to have some slight adjustments depending on where you work at. And you kind of know the people that you work with. If you work with a lot of non-white people and there's already a lot of anti-blackness and talking bad about each other and just looking for a reason to be in conflict with another victim, not celebrating Christmas, absolutely. That can be a reason. Not celebrating things, absolutely. That can be reason enough. That kind of have to factor that. And certainly if you work with other white people, same thing. That can be reason enough. You don't celebrate white Jesus' birthday? What?
But that listen, if you have people that's there, that's Muslims and whatever, like you wouldn't discriminate against them because they're practicing their religion. So why would you take that stance on me because I said I don't? That was my thing. Like, and you know, I just, you know, because I didn't want to be dishonest and feel like I was being lying, starting to lie. All I said is that I just don't get into that. And like, you know, then all these questions, and I was like, wow, why am I being given this third degree whenever I've said this to anybody else? I think because he thinks because he's the big boss that he can do that, you know what I mean? He can give you the third degree about everything, like, you know. So I just don't, being the setting where I'm at, it's like I said, you know, you're supposed to be inclusive and accepting of other people's cultures and their other ways of life. And they're, like I said, they accept the LGBT. They accept people when they come in there as Muslim or whatever. This is the environment where you're supposed to accept that type of stuff. So I just feel that, and even like, honestly, if you was to look at it from a policy standpoint, that, you know, it would be going against policy for you to even be questioning me like that. Because once I say that, you know, I don't do this, then that it should have been the end of the conversation right then and there. But, you know, he just kept, I felt like he was pressing, like, you know, and trying to make me feel like something was wrong with me. So I'm like, wow, you know, considering the environment and the policies and, you know, the type of atmosphere that I work in, it's all of that stuff. Is we have all these policies backing up all of it to be different and not to, you know, if you don't do certain things or subscribe to certain ideology, it should be okay, even though everybody else goes by certain things. But we've had people that were Muslims that worked there. We have this whole LGBT thing that's there and their acceptance of trans and all this. So that's why I was just like, wow, you know, it just kind of like, I don't know. It just, that was just really uncomfortable, to say the least. Yeah.
The context of white supremacy, I can certainly empathize with that. I can only say those holidays are very powerful. I think sometimes it's certain aspects of white supremacy, racism, and our participation in them are very important. I think voting sometimes can be one where you can kind of get that same sort of response from people. Mm-hmm. That would be another one where I wouldn't be on a job even around non-white people and say, you know, if who are you going to vote for? And I don't believe in voting. You might get the same, like, what? You know, but do you know people that? That's how powerful some components of the system of white supremacy are. And it's it is discomforting, like where you said it made you feel uncomfortable, like it made it seem like there was a judgment. I think when particularly non-white people are doing things that seem like they flagrantly violate the expectations of how victims of white supremacy should behave, or flagrantly violate components of white supremacy culture, I think that can be disturbing, certainly to white people, even to other non-white people. And I've, you know, seen and experienced that myself. So just being mindful of that in a workplace, like I said, for certain things, if the voting thing comes up, if participation in these holidays, religion comes up, and that's kind of connected, you might get a similar response. And there are probably other things. If you said, oh, I don't believe, I think that has come up. Dr. Welsing talked about that one where somehow it came up in a work setting. Some question was asked, you don't date white women, and somehow the black person said no. And it ended up being the same type of response. And I think even some non-white people got angry because this black, that's, you know, all anything that seems like this is the conduct of a non-white person who is resisting the norms of white supremacy, racism, that in and of itself can be a problem and can, you know, make people, wow, what is wrong with you? That type of thing. So be mindful of that in a work setting. And I would say, to the best that you can, try to minimize in conversations where you know it could lead there. I have very little to say. What are you doing for the holiday? Taking it easy. Where we don't we miss that whole dialogue, and we can shift to somebody else. They can go and take up all the time. Oh, we're getting the tree and put it. I can Mr. Fuller it all day. And just do the different, and we can all get back to work. I can get a question in that gets us back on work. But if any, like I said, it just shows the power of these holidays and why it in my view, it requires particular codification, because there are lots of different little, you know, booby traps along the way as we get into 2020. Let's see. If other folks, the freaking holiday, I put it in, we started talking about it last week. If people have code, you know, around what they, how they perform, what they say, what they don't say, when people ask that, when they say, you know, are you going to hang out? Are you going to be doing anything? Are you cooking for the family for the holidays? Are you going to be visiting? How you respond to all of those questions? Do you just say something mundane to get it through? Do you emphasize, oh, I don't participate every time? So that you open yourself up to that sort of exchange. If you have thoughts on how you deal with that in a codified manner, great. I can say that I have been on jobs and I did make it known that I didn't participate in holidays. I didn't explain why, and it wasn't something I talked about a bunch. It was just something that was explained at the beginning, and that was that. And so they knew it. So then, like, Christmas about to come up. Christmas will come up. There's a guy, oh, happy Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Oh, hey, Gus. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, hope you have a fun, you know, fun weekend, whatever. At least enjoy that. No problem. I didn't, you know, get an attitude or whatever. They playing with the tree and all the rest of it, cold in the gang. But it was, I have had that situation. I'll say, like, for the situation I'm in now teaching yoga, I have not had any sort of discussion around holidays and my participation in them, and cannot think of that coming up at all. And this is in a situation where I have talked about racism in a very flagrant manner before, but I couldn't even see what Draftomania just shared. I couldn't even say that yeah, I don't participate. I wouldn't even get that sentence out. It would just be, nope, not doing anything. Like they asked, what'd you do for Thanksgiving? Nothing. Took it easy. That's going to be about it. That would be the max. It'd be safe. What'd you do for Christmas? Nothing. Took it. That's my codified response. Man, it's hard to get in trouble for that one. What did you do? And then you get the question so you can pivot out of it, and then we can get back. All right, so you're teaching the heated yoga. We get back on to yoga mat. Or food. That's one where I've ridiculed Mr. C. I talked about that for years. That's one. I can pivot to food because that is a part of my yoga thing, being able to talk about food. So I'd have no problem being able to pivot to food and things that I cook and talk about. I made cookies and all that nonsense. But, yeah, nothing to say. If folks have thoughts on that one, you can share as well. Irie should be with us also if you have thoughts. Good to hear from you.
Hello.
We can hear you, but your volume is kind of low.
Okay, 1 second. Okay, can you hear me?
That's an improvement.
Okay, great. I apologize for that. It was listening to you all. I actually thought of some instances that I thought might be interested sharing, keep me interesting. So I substituted last week, the last day of school. That's this week. I don't know. I feel like I'm losing track of the days because of the holiday. But Tuesday, I was actually on a break, and some food came in, and I thought about what you said about not eating in the workplace. But then I noticed it was food from a restaurant. And I was like, okay, I know this restaurant. It's a Thai restaurant. It's really good. And I was the first person in the – well, I was the only person in the lunchroom when they brought it in, so I couldn't help myself. I got a plate. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is codified. If it's from a restaurant, you know, and, you know, you're the first one there and everybody else hasn't, you know, put their hot breath on it yet. So I enjoyed, you know, that happening that way. I did find it interesting when I listened to the clip again of that lady talking about expect backlash if you don't participate. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. You're a blogger. What is it? Ask a manager. And you're saying that, yeah, don't, if you break the culture up and not participate in the holiday parties at work, there might be some type of like social consequence. And I was like, isn't that still illegal? And how are you, a professional person coming on the radio or wherever, saying that, yeah, this is something you should expect? It fascinated me. And then it made me think something you all were talking about with holidays and parties. It wasn't a holiday this particular time, but when I was in the military, we were about to get off work, and somebody said to me, oh, are you coming to go on bowling with us this evening? You know, we're going to blah, blah, blah. And I was standing there like, this guy is asking me, it was a white male. He's asking me if I want to go bowling with them, knowing good and well I didn't like anybody in there, and they sure didn't like me. And I said, no, I think I'm going to pass. And then that's when he grimaced and he got a little pink. He was like, you know, well, Master Sergeant should have made it where it was mandatory. And I didn't respond to it. And there was one other thing. Give me 1 second. Look at my notes. Oh, well, and then the last thing about holidays. There was a white female I was substituting with in the same classroom, maybe last month. Yeah, it was last month. And she was aggravated because they were changing the recognition of Halloween and how she was upset that the kids couldn't celebrate Halloween anymore. And thus, you know, I don't know, she was just upset about it. And I asked her, I was like, ma'am, do you know the history of Halloween? And she was like, yeah, I kind of know, but, you know, it's just we've always had these holidays and kids have always been able to celebrate it in school, and this is just, it's too much. They're taking away everything. And I just said, interesting. And, you know, for some reason, holidays, I'm not saying holidays aren't a big thing in other cultures or with other people throughout the world, but, you know, it's just more confusion at school, on the job, and that was all I had to share for now. Thank you, and please excuse my raspiness. Thanks.
Context of white supremacy, much obliged. Irie, those holidays, all of them are important, some more important than others, but it is amazing the time and energy resources that go into all of that. Let's see. With the situation, that's interesting. Now, you talked about the segment from last week where it was a segment with a blogger. She was talking about holiday parties to participate or not, or just different festivities in the office associated with the holiday season. For the very thing that I guess was fascinating for you on, you know, had you thinking like you're supposed to be a professional, like a so-called expert on this subject matter, and you're saying that there can be consequences for not participating, and is that legal, and, you know, you should have better suggestions, better advice than that. I appreciated her for acknowledging that there might be consequences, because that's the conclusion that I've come to. That just what we just hear from Draftomania, looking at my own experiences and hearing that from other people. And we've had Cal's listeners who have said the same thing, that they've been on jobs where they have, you know, these Christmas parties, not every job, but some with these Christmas parties, or sometimes I have been on jobs where they'll have like some sort of summer cookout type of thing, 4th of July type thing. And if you don't go, same thing, drafting, but I'm going to let it go. Not really. I have seen that. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm not being true. If I sit up here and tell you, well, you know, you don't have to participate. It's Christmas time, and if you don't want to do it, ho, 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 hum, whatever, fine. Well, you could do that, but like I said, now 6 months later, they might remember, this nigga didn't, wasn't in it. Look at there. Look at there. I got the, you see the Christmas photo? Where's the nigga? You only got one nigga work here. Do you see the Christmas photo? You see? Do you see? Do you see? He wasn't even here. That right there. That's your raise right there. Like, I have been in work environments, and I think a number of people have, where that's true. So I appreciated that. Now, in terms of, is that legal? I mean, hey, racism, white supremacy is supposed to be illegal, unless I've been misinformed. So I don't know that that means anything. If we practice racism on a regular basis and are able to get away with that, then certainly we can, you know, get grumpy about you not wanting to Christmas carol with us for a few hours, or you don't want to come and, you know, drink with us at the office party. So, yeah, it might be legal, but that doesn't mean that it won't happen. And I mean, you might even be able to prove that it was illegal and win a case, but it might take 5 years. So, you know, I appreciate that was the same thing that you pointed out. I appreciated that. Yes, you not being involved in these type of things in the workplace, you can choose to abstain, but it might adversely impact your time there. I think is true, legal or no. I think it's true.
Excuse me, may I ask a question to you?
For sure, for sure.
I'm just kind of frustrated. I agree with you. Her candor was great, but have you heard of, or has anyone else heard of, any instances in which maybe a person, I'm trying to think how to say this, like, wouldn't it be a good idea to, like, evoke what people, I remember, like, growing up, people always evoke, like, their Bill of Rights. Like, has anybody at least maybe heard people say, well, you know, that's against my, you know, freedom of religion or something, and it worked, and people, you know, said, okay, well, we're just not going to go there with you, you know, something. I don't know. It just seems so strange to me that holidays, they're not required events for the workplace unless, I mean, even if you were, say, for instance, Santa Claus's helper, little helper, and you worked for Santa Claus making toys, how is it still something required for me to go to the holiday party just because I'm in the business of making toys, or I don't know. It's just so, it's confusing, and I don't want to ramble, pardon me. But, yeah, I'm frustrated about that. Thank you.
Woo! The holidays cause frustration. That's what they say. And this is just the beginning. I was going to say that. I was even thinking of saying that when I teach. I am teaching Sunday. If you want to come take a yoga class, it's in the afternoon if you're in the Seattle area. I am teaching. But I was going to say that people are already saying that they're stressed and frustrated about the holidays, and this is really just the beginning. Like, it hasn't even got rolling yet. We still got Kwanzaa and New Year's Eve and Christmas and all the rest of it. I mean, woof, strap in. But I was cracking up laughing, not at your frustration. That's real. I totally get it. But I was cracking up laughing at the analogy. This is not the compensatory call in. And I said, wow, Santa's little helper, the elves not going to the Christmas party. Like, wow, it is that. Like, what type of world is this where Santa's helpers don't even want to go to the Christmas party. But anyway, not getting lost in the weeds of the metaphor. I don't know. I have heard Mr. Fuller and others talk about invoking the Constitution for workplace matters. I cannot ever recall anyone invoking the Constitution with regards to them abstaining from participating in a holiday. I cannot think of that, or, you know, that with the response or anything like that. That seems like kind of, I would say, what did they say? Doing too much. I would almost think like, wow, does it have, that's what I was saying to Draftomania about, I would be trying to go low, like when explaining, like not in the context of Michelle Obama, go low meaning saying and doing as little as possible. Like anything related to holidays comes up, what are you doing? Very little. And that's all I have to say. What is that, two words? Very little. That's about as much as I want to have to say. Like, that way the conversation goes no further. You're not getting a tree? Nope. Nothing? Very little. That's it. And we can move on to something. That way I don't have to explain anything. It is exactly the frustration that Irie is talking about. That is the power of white supremacy racism. This is white Jesus' birthday, along with a whole lot of other things tying into the madness of all of this. But, I mean, the power of white supremacy racism is on full display, and not being congruent with that, not being in alliance with that. I don't know how many books we've read in the book club where Christmas comes up, but it's a bunch of them. Tar Baby, that was right. We just read Toni Morrison's Tar Baby, and Christmas was right there in the middle of the plot. Everybody, what are we going to eat? And are we going to have apple pie and the food? And, oh, my God. Like, it is amazing. Like, the amount of time and energy over the next 45 days and all just tied into what are we going to do on December 25? And what are we going to get? And what are we going to eat? And what are we going to watch? And where are we going to be? It is amazing. Time and energy. Mr. Fuller talks about that all the time. That's one of the ways right there that they, in terms of coordinating our time and energy, can be these holidays. White people dictate, oh, you're going to have the day off. Nobody will be on the plantation yesterday. And it might be that you're not going to be on the plantation for Thanksgiving and Nigger Friday, because we want to make sure that you go out and do a little shopping too. It's extraordinarily powerful. And I think for a lot of victims, it can really distort our thinking, especially in the workplace, not participating. So just be mindful in terms of it. I think be mindful. It can be harmful. I don't know if people have remedies for the way that you can do that where it doesn't cause ramifications. You still get all your raises. You don't get ostracized. People aren't going around talking bad about you. If people have figured out how to do that without causing problems, please share. Let's see, folks we've not heard from at all, 3098, did you have things you wanted to share for workplace racism?
Yes, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good evening, Gus. Good evening, callers. Good evening, participants. Hope everybody's having a constructive evening. I wanted just to add on to the current conversation. It is very fascinating as I become more codified, it does become more frustrating to use Irie's term, like where you try to not participate. I'll give a specific example. Yesterday, my mother asked me to come out and spend time with her, and I'm not against spending time with her, but I had already decided I want to try to stay in the house and do some studying. And she pretty much insisted that I come out and participate on some aspect. And I was trying not to participate on any aspect. So, you know, it is very confusing, frustrating to add on to that, to not participate and not antagonize any non-white victims of racism. And I had a question to just actually build on that. If anybody is, you know what I'm saying, if you remember, I just told you a couple of weeks ago I recently got a promotion. I'm looking for suggestions or advice on how to interact with white and non-white people in a supervisory capacity. Now, meet my line. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Interact with them how? So you're the supervisor. These are your subordinates, as they say. Interact with them in what sort of ways?
Yeah, basically to what I'm looking at is going to be giving them, advising them on policies and rules, but I also see that a lot of people are resistant to accepting them because, like I said, they may have more time on the job, but they want to complain about the time on the job, and they feel like me or others who have less time or less seniority, let me be more specific, less seniority, they want to complain about that, and I want to be able to best negotiate that, and I'm trying to think about how would I approach that to codify that to say, well, listen, you may have 20 years on the job, I only have 11 years on the job or whatever, but this is the new policy. I'm simply here to advise you on what the policy is, so I don't want you to be angry at me, but I also see that that's often the case where people are angry at the messenger, if I can use that, you know, use that metaphor. Am I making myself clear?
That does make a lot more sense. I much appreciate the clarification. I think too, just in general, hey, it's in Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro. Do I have that sound clipped? Let's see here. Black supervisors. Let's see. Do I have Carter G. Woodson? Yep. Let's see. What does Carter G. Woodson say?
Chapter 12, Hirelings in the Places of Public Servants. If the highly educated Negroes have not learned better the simple lessons of life, one cannot expect the laboring class to conduct themselves differently. In the large number of cases, the employers of Negroes in common labor, in which most of them are now engaged, assert that there is no hope for advancement of Negroes in their employ because Negroes will not work under foremen of their own color. In other words, the average Negro has not yet developed to the point that one is willing to take orders from another of his own race. While it is true that such an answer is often given as a mere excuse for not placing Negroes in responsible positions when it can be done without any particular trouble, the investigation among Negroes themselves reveals numerous facts to prove that there is more truth than falsehood in this statement. Hundreds of employees of African blood frankly say that they will not work under a Negro. One is afraid that the other may prosper more than he does and be recognized accordingly. Some of these instances are interesting. A head of one of the government departments in which the Negro women are employed to do unskilled labor reports that he placed in charge of the group of these workers an intelligent colored woman who seemed to have all of the necessary qualifications which he had found in other women thus employed. Those working under her, however, refused to obey instructions, kept the place in turmoil, and soon destroyed the morale of the whole force. As soon as he placed a white woman in charge, however, order was reestablished on the premises and everything moved along smoothly. Another
power of white women. Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro, quite a bit more. Even white people, or I think obviously President Obama showed us that for 8 years. White people obviously have many, 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 many problems taking orders from a so-called black supervisor or any black person who seems like they might be, quote-unquote, in charge. In terms of interacting or communicating with them. I think what you were saying, that is best in terms of keeping the focus. If it's policy and procedure, oh, man, well, then, hey, this doesn't have anything to do with seniority or how long I've been here, how long you've been here. This is policy and procedure that, you know, we all need to, myself, everybody is supposed to comply with regardless of how many years that they've been employed here. And if you have concerns about my competency in this position or even, you know, where you should be, if you think, hey, you've been here this long and you've done this much for the company, then that can be addressed. I'm sure there are folks that you can talk to who get a greater salary than you do, but at least in terms of policy and procedure, that's totally irrelevant. That's what it is, and it's my job to make sure that we are compliant. At least the folks that I'm charged with supervising are in compliance with policy and procedure. So, boop, let's make sure that we're doing this in according to X, Y, and Z. That's, you know, it would just be about that, making sure that we're in compliance with that, being clear about what the expectations are, and yeah, I would, and expecting people to have problems accepting your authority, I think, because that's so common. President Obama, because that's so common, and not being stunned about that, not being surprised, not taking it personal, and thinking that there's something deficient about you. That's the system of racism, white supremacy. Negros are not supposed to be in charge. You are supposed to be the janitor. You're not supposed to be even employed there. So white people and non-white people are not supposed to be, you know, thinking of you as someone in power. So not being surprised about that, not taking it personal, in any way that it might be manifest in terms of questioning your seniority, and I've been here longer than you have, and I'm not supposed to be taking orders from you, and that type of way, not taking it personal, and just staying focused on exact kind of thing that I said with the Christmas thing, just trying to streamline it, staying focused on what are we trying to get accomplished here. I'm presumably I'm the one with the agenda here if I'm the supervisor, so what is it? Policy and procedure, making sure we get this addressed with everybody. Boop, let's get that done. And everything else can be, you know, addressed at a later time and date, if at all. If we have black supervisors, non-white supervisors who have, I guess, experience, if you have tips, recommendations on how to minimize people sabotaging your authority, trying to discard what, you know, you're telling folks, this is what we're supposed to be doing as a team, please share. This is one you should not be a spectator. 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If we have black supervisors, make sure you get a hand up. I know this subject matter has come up before with recommendations. I think even Mr. Williams has talked about, Mr. Edward Williams, counterracism.com, has talked before about some of the strategies he's recommended or used when having to supervise white and non-white people, some of the problems that can come up if they want to listen, don't want to listen, trying to make sure that you are consistent. That can be another one. But, yeah, just not being surprised and not taking it personal. I think that's a big one. Not taking it personal, regardless of, you know, what happens, white, non-white. It is never personal. Let's see, while I give folks a moment to get their thoughts, we'll hear from some of the other folks who dialed in. I will read some of our other emails. Folks who wrote in, the email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. If you, you know, want to maintain some anonymity, you don't feel comfortable phoning us. So, black female, she wrote in, predictably, I am off for the holiday, and will go on my vacation soon, but this gave me time to think about the racism I am dealing with. My white coworker uses company time to order prescription drugs. Opioid epidemic, they say. Dog food, Ivy. Wait a minute. Let me get the whole thing. My white coworker uses company time to order prescription drugs, beer, and make all these outlandish appointments over the phone. Sobriety would be best. Out of a 7.5-hour day, she uses 3 of those, not including lunch, to abuse company time. When there is downtime, I may speak to another non-white coworker about the terrorism we face. We don't speak loudly, but one of us may have a headset on. One of my non-white coworkers made a suggestion to email a higher-up about this abuse to get a quicker response, and I kid you not, I was blocked from emailing her. Things we supposedly speak in secret, mainly the terrorism, always gets a negative reaction, meaning they try to stop us from getting any justice. But my white coworker can waste company time ordering drugs over the phone. You can guess nothing happens to her. My white coworkers can go on vacation for 3 weeks. I submit my vacation time, and it's this big circus metaphor. They are angry. They can't dump their work on my desk and can't blame me for their incompetency. Much obliged, ma'am. Black female person who wrote this. Number, that's why I say on a regular basis, right? If we have anybody listening, and I mean anybody, you're a victim of white supremacy anywhere in the known universe, and you have figured out, hey, that's you. You know, I don't know what kind of third world country you all grew up in, but I put my vacation time in on Wednesday, and by Thursday I got my approval, and that's every time. I don't know, you know, all this, you put it in, and it's a circus, whatever that means, and 3 weeks, you put it in, they tell you yes, then they come back and tell you that doesn't ever happen to me. Well, then, hey, let me give you that number again. It's 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. And I just point that out for listeners. That's why I think it's important to share what happens at work, because this is so common. It can't just be that us black people are just so defective that our little pecan-sized coon brains can't figure out how to fill out a personal request, personal leave form at work. That just can't be. That the niggers worldwide are just so incompetent, bell curve and all. We just can't. We just, all of us, we put in the wrong date. We put in the wrong time. We forget to sign it. We forget to put the form in. All of us just can't be that incompetent, you know. I mean, when it comes to going to get crack, oh, yeah, we can do that. We can get on the phone and do the same thing. Get on the phone and order crack cocaine, no problem. But fill out personal leave form? I don't think that's the case. I think white people practice racism, white supremacy, and I think this goes back centuries. And them doing things to mess us around on the job, back to the formal cotton plantation. White people being lazy and not working, I have been saying that specifically for the past few weeks because it keeps being brought up. White people are not ignorant about this. Whether they're doing it on the their own personal mobile phones, or whether they're doing it on the office computer, or maybe they brought in their own, you know, tablet or whatever, white people are not ignorant. If you know that this white heifer is here on a regular basis ordering beer, wine, whatever it is, and her drugs on the phone or whatever and being loud, if you have, you know, concluded that this is happening on a pretty regular basis, I'm pretty sure some other white people have also heard this. So they are not clueless about the amount of time that she wastes. As you said, the amount of company time that she abuses. They're not ignorant about this either, and she's not the only one. It did not get the name, what I've been calling it, Coon Monday, Nigger Friday and Coon Monday, but it's Black Friday and Cyber Monday. That is not black people who just stormed in on their MacBooks and tablets on Monday to buy everything on Amazon. That is not black people. That is white people on company time. That, I think that was the origin of the whole holiday, unless I'm ignorant. We didn't have everybody didn't have Wi-Fi willy-nilly on their phones and what have you 10 years ago. So it's Nigger Friday, and then we got to wait till we can go abuse the company Wi-Fi and company time and do our shopping for Cyber Monday. That's why it's Nigger Friday and Coon Monday. White people are not ignorant about this. They are very aware. That's why I keep saying this. They're not ignorant about racism, and they're not ignorant about white incompetence and white laziness on the job. That is, it's hand in hand. You have lazy white people on the plantation. You have the niggers out in the field. Let's see. The alcohol and drug abuse, that I think also is something that should not be lost, and maybe we should talk about that more in a workplace context, because I do not think I was warned about that you might be around people that are drinking, doing drugs in a work environment, and how that might disrupt your work experience, how that impacts their behavior, people that are doing this, and then, you know, functioning with them, what to do if that's happening, report these people and that sort of thing. I mean, I was not aware at all. And apparently this is we've had a number of people. I think just someone last week was talking about they're on a job where they have alcohol, like meaning on the premises, in the refrigerator, you can go crack a beer for lunch or what have you. And we've had a number of folks who've talked about that. I think Roz talked about being on a job where that was the case. They had, you know, alcoholic beverages on the premises and that sort of thing. And even when it's not promoted in that flagrant of a manner, the people that are sneaking it in a variety of different ways. I mean, that is a huge component of white culture, all of the substance abuse that's running right around these holidays, too. We got to have some. Today we're talking about, that was in the segment last week. They talked about giving away drinks, alcohol, as a Christmas gift in the workplace. So be mindful about that. Be alert about that. I would report because I do not think substance, people on drugs and or alcohol, I do not think that is about a part of a safe work environment. The other component to make sure I get in again, just because I've said it already today, anytime you're in a work environment, if you are speaking, assume you're being listened to. She said she would talk to another non-white coworker about how to deal with terrorism, and someone, I guess, overheard this and suggested maybe drop an email. And then they got blocked, or maybe they didn't overhear, but she said that a non-white coworker suggested that maybe doing an email, and then they got blocked. I don't know if somebody overheard the conversation. It would not surprise me. I would just repeat again, if you are in a work environment, if you are talking at all, even if you are whispering, I would assume everything that you say is being heard. That's the way that I would talk in a work environment at all times. And then proceed. Let's see. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Number again, 605-313-5164, decode 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. So we got our two, black supervisor. How do you communicate with white and non-white subordinates, especially if they, you know, might be questioning, hey, you know, I don't even know if you deserve this here supervisor job. You know, you've only been here a little bit of time. I've been working here longer than you have. My credentials are better than yours. And trying to think of ways that they might be subverting his authority as a supervisor. But that was one. And then code for the holidays and trying to get through without being mistreated. If you don't celebrate, what do you say around that? If they have the party, office parties and things of that nature, just how to deal with that with as few problems as possible. people with their codification. Those are two. If you have your own situation that you would like to share, that is certainly welcome. We have other folks. If you have thoughts on those topics, proceed.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I want to start out with my first one, being that I had an observation. This was about like a, I guess, a party for a deputy that was retiring on from the security. So I pretty much attend the same lunch hour that they were having this party. And I mentioned before that I had the salad and the water present. And that sometimes can be another situation where I can pretty much counteract what they try to do when they want you to participate in potlucks. I say, hey, there's nothing wrong with eating healthy, right? Every time they're like, you know, you're right. You're making me, they even go to the extent, you're making me feel bad. And I say, well, hey, you know, we all got to do better, right? So so they pretty much, you know, back away then. Like, that's work for me. But another aspect of this was, like, the judges and the staff from the state employees upstairs, you know, they came down and they was eating food. And it's just, I don't know, like, once they were done eating, and, you know, later on, because it was hardly no black people, I was the only black person that was in the area, because I eat in this area, like, all the time. But it was just a focused observation that the next black person I seen come around was a janitor. And, you know, very courteous person. He knew my father. He came to the funeral or whatever. So ever since the funeral, you know, he's been calling me Mr., my last name. And I do the same with him and sir and everything. So, you know, we're very, very constructive in how we dialogue. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I think that's racism. Racism is there all the time. But I don't know. I just had like a way that I viewed that. Like, man, they can't, like, it couldn't even come around until after everybody done eating and leaving, and this person is doing all the cleaning up by himself or whatever. But that was one of my first observations. My next one is, like, I was, because I know you mentioned the Wi-Fi before. I had to screenshot something. Like, I was on my morning break, and, like, because I just try to use the data on my own phone, and I don't try to get onto the company Wi-Fi. And I noticed it was a Wi-Fi spot that said, it said FBI surveillance van. So I was like, I ain't never seen that one before. So I screenshotted that, and I kept it. You know, just to see if that pattern continues. And I don't think I've seen that one ever again, because I know sometimes, given that, you know, we a government office or whatever, and they come in there, but I just never seen that one before. My third one is there was a white person that practiced racism to a customer, a black male customer that I was assisting. And this guy came in to view tax deed property. He needed to speak to the property person about the tax deed. So this white guy, as he's exiting, he approaches the black male and he says, you know what, you look like Snoop Dogg. So we just kind of just looked at each other, and then nobody responded. He tried to backtrack, like, oh, you know, I wish I had some of that money that he has too. So I guess he knew he was practicing racism. He knew it before he said it, but definitely something racist. My next one is, we were in a meeting, like the monthly meetings, and an act of racism, a white supremacy definitely was practiced when the top person, right? Because, you know, they bring the food and everything to, I guess, use as a refreshment for the people around the staff. So the non-white female that's a supervisor, I think she used some counter-racism, because when they are finished with the meeting, when they're done saying what they're saying, they'll go around and ask the supervisors, does anybody, any of the supervisors, they'll start naming them like one by one or whatever. So she kind of said, hey, I have something to say. Because she kind of like, she don't really be saying too much. But I don't know, I think like Mexican or something like that, it's a term that people use. So the white man says, oh, looks like somebody brought sangrias. So I guess that's some kind of Mexican or Spanish, like wine, alcoholic type of refreshment or whatever. She said, I just want to clarify, this doesn't have alcohol in it. That's like, that's what she said. Like, you know, it's just, you know, fruit and a muffin with a, you know, a fruit juice or something. So he's like, basically I put that together like that was some racist. So he, like, when the meeting was done, he walked past me and a few other people. He was trying to get to her office because we were in the area where her office was. He was trying to see if he could correct that, in my opinion, because he was responding to her calling out his racism. I got two more left. The next one is, and then I know someone mentioned the word ages, like that kind of came up too, because I was doing my route and it's an older white woman. Because we usually will talk about the issues. I know it's rare to be speaking about racism on the job, but they do, I've noticed, they stigmatize her in a way or whatever because they feud with each other. So she wanted me to read the email. So I said, okay, you know, I'll be around there or whatever. And I didn't get to read the whole thing at first, but she sent it to me in the email. And the email as a summary said, it was about Secret Santa and saying that she wasn't going to participate because the one of the top, I guess, wardens or whatever, a white male, she said, I don't appreciate blank's segregationist request. Now, she used the word segregation and saying that, you know, he wants to kick me out and separate me from the other ladies at the counter, and also want to get me to move my things away from everyone else and keep them at the desk or whatever. And he said, I couldn't imagine getting, and she used my name and another black employee's name and getting their things and taking them away from everybody else. So I said, now that was interesting. And she says that she's going to opt out, like many other people, from participating in the Secret Santa. That's a holiday-affiliated, oriented event. So I printed that email, you know, and I have it with me. So I still haven't gotten talked to her about that yet. But, yeah, so but I seen that person, right, and his face is always red, and he can't look at me in the eye. So, but, like, that's, like, that one I'm going to have to explain more on, so I don't know what's going to end up happening from that situation, because basically got called out from a white woman. And, like I said, she's the oldest person, like, age-wise in the department. And my last one is, this was an experiment, I think, because I use the code Click Member, I think this female is a CLIC member, even though she is an accepted as white, in my opinion. She came into the area because the area where I work at is mainly black people. It's me and two other black females. So she's saying that she noticed it was a guy that came to a bar or a club in the town where she usually goes to or whatever, or where she lives. And she was saying that the guy was pointing out, man, there's no black people that come here. And, you know, said, hey, I'm the only black guy in here and everything. So the black female responds, I guess she knew who this person was. I don't know, maybe it was some kind of comedian, local comedian or something. And she was saying, yeah, you know, he dates nothing but white women. So she replied saying, yeah, you know, he was just saying a whole bunch of things. He had us in there cracking up. He had us in there laughing. So I know Mr. Fuller used the term, Eddie. So she said that I guess he was telling jokes. And he said, she said the guy said something about, man, these crackers are crazy. So now this, see, she obviously trying to see, I think it's two things, trying to see if the other black people function and practice counter racism the way that I do, okay, and trying to target and attack all of us. So after this, she says that the guy says something about, oh yeah, you ever seen that movie Mighty Joe Young? Now this is, you see what I'm saying, like this is a movie that has a primate or a gorilla or ape in it. So she says, wow, isn't that movie with the gorilla in it? So the black female, she stopped giving lengthy responses. Like she had concise responses, like, oh wow, really? And this female, she says, now the guy says, oh, you know, you ever seen that Mighty Joe Young movie? That's my little brother. Okay. Now I'm on the phone with a customer. And I overheard that she was sitting in front of me. She was covering for somebody. And, yeah, she said, yeah, he said, that's my little brother. And she says, oh, wow, like, man, I don't know about this one. Because if I would have said that, it would have been an issue. So she says she kept her mouth shut. And the black female says, yeah, that's right, you should do that. So she gets up and she walks away. And that was all of that one. But, yeah, I wanted to bring that one here to the program to share. And thanks for allowing me to share. Thank you.
Ignorant about racism. Wow. Wow. So many from the courthouse once again. Let's see. Mighty Joe Young. Get back to that one. Okay. So the buffet, and that's another one. You can get in trouble if they decide that they're going to pay for food or whatever it is. And, you know, oh, no, I'm not going to. What? We brought that. He said before, the janitor, I don't know if this is the same janitor that he mentioned today, but he had said before they had a custodial worker. And they were trying to start a petition to make him eat, where you can, you know, that's why I said it is amazing the type of things that can become a grievance in a workplace. Oh, no, I'm good. I got peanut allergies. I don't want to. What? Nigga, we said you. Anyway, so they have the buffet, and I've said that can be great. Just, you know, hey, I got diabetes. You know, doctor said I got to lose some of this tubbiness. I got to be real careful about what I eat. Got my salad, got my water. Healthy, who can be upset about healthy eating, right? Get back in the question lane even that. Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'd even bring it back up. They say, you know, the Negros, they got that diabetes thing, you know, about to die at age 55. So, you know, hey, I'm eating as much spinach as I can. I don't go near the sodas. Never had, I can't even spell Popeye's chicken. You know, I'm trying to do as best I can. You know, us black people don't live long. Let's see.
the always lovely when you do have a constructive exchange with black people at work, certain last name, Mrs., Mr., constructive. I think white people see that and they absolutely hate that, but that is always spectacular. Let's see. With the black person being compared to Snoop Dogg, I think that's why I said I feel like in a work environment, white people, they'll be around black people and they'll try to find something to talk about. It's like, oh, I'm not racist. And sometimes be like, oh, I like Snoop Dogg. That's what it'll be like. Oh, I like, you know, such and such show that he's in. Oh, I just love, you know, his music. Or he's just so funny. Or just somewhere showing, oh, yeah, there are black people that I just love that Tiger Woods. He's just awesome. Isn't that OJ just something? And sometimes it'll just be awkward. They'll bring up some black person. It'll be something like that. Like, you look like Snoop Dogg. And the person will be, you know, about the complexion of Barack Obama. Like, what? I mean, and it is not lost on me. It'll frequently be a comparison where it's kind of criminal or at least bordering on criminal. I think a lot of people, Snoop is known for consuming cannabis, which is not federal, at least. It remains a crime and is still illegal in a number of states, although dwindling, where it's still kind of, I mean, that's not like if we're at a courthouse, if we're in an office setting, I don't exactly want to be compared to Snoop Dogg. Like, that goes back, we had a black male who called in who said they just called him a pimp. I think he's on the remix for that one. 50 Cent, P-I-M-P, said, hey, every time you say, hey, that's pimp. What's up, pimp? How you doing? We're in a work environment. You should not be associating thinking of a pimp Snoop Dogg when you see me in a work environment. That's not my role here at the courthouse, to be a jester. But again, that just goes back to how we are thought of in the system of racism, white supremacy. Let's see. The sangria comment, again, ignorant about racism, white supremacy, and I think that might fall under Jane Hill. She was a guest on the program, and she talked about how sometimes white people will deliberately use like non-English words to practice racism. It'll be invoked in a specific setting, sangria. It'll be invoked in a specific way to suggest or practice racism. That's interesting that this white person got called out on that, the comment about the sangria. I feel like that's one that, you know, people might just, you know, nothing would be said. That could be said and, you know, it would just roll on. There would be no challenge. Maybe around the alcohol version, because sangria, I think generally it is alcoholic, unless I've been misinformed. I did study a Spanish un poquito. But that's interesting. And you concluded that he was trying to go to the office immediately to challenge the fact that he had been, questioned on perhaps racist speech. You think that was his intent?
Yes, sir, because they, once they finished the meeting, they went to ask the supervisors if they had anything to say. So when it got to her, I remember it, just see, because it was a few weeks ago. I've been meaning to share this one, but it kept slipping. But definitely, like, she responded to that because she had made something, and I could see what it was on the table. But I was kind of standing behind a few people. But I do remember her saying, I just want to clarify, as though, you know, someone said something incorrect. And I remember him, the top person, he was trying to make his way to where she was sitting, to where the office was. He went inside. So I can guarantee you it had something to do with that remark. And she responded to it, and he was, it looked like he was coming in there to I guess, start out his morning courtesy with her. But I don't know if he made a comment about, you know, retracting what he said.
Doesn't get any better than tacky. That is what Mr. Fuller said around, you know, bringing in food. I don't know if that was holiday associated or not. It's still close enough that it could have been. But doesn't get any better than tacky. And kudos for calling out, saying something, because like, I feel like in a lot of environments that would have just, meh. But to go ahead and say something about that, and I super think that that is the exact sort of thing that's in Jane Hill's Everyday Racism. I think that's the title of the book. We're talking racism. I know it's Jane Hill. I'll get the exact title, but she was a guest in 2012, and she would talk about white people making those type of jokes, and it can be something that's passed off as just, oh, I was just joking. What are you talking about? I was just making a joke. I know you didn't bring alcohol to the courthouse. What do you mean? I was just joking. We're just having a little fun, and yeah, we're all family here. What was the with the Wi-Fi again?
Yes, sir. That was because, see, I recognized ours will say, I guess, what, court public or something like that. And it'll show, like, the other names around the area, I guess. So I just happened to see that it said FBI surveillance van. And I was like, wow, I never seen that one before. I just seen, like, the one that we have and maybe, like, the, I guess, the Hampton Inn or something like that, the motel across the street, and maybe, like, another one maybe, because it's City Hall across the street as well and then the public library. But I seen that one, and that one stood out. So I'm like, man, what is that doing there? So I don't know what that was, what the deal on that one was. So I just capture that.
Wow. I mean, one, I would think 2020, they would have equipment sophisticated enough that they wouldn't be that flagrant. But that's what it said. That's normally not there. That is something. That's kind of peculiar. But, yeah, I would think, I mean, you know, that regardless, we're under surveillance, no secrets. The person already said they were talking about being terrorized, tried to submit an email, and then got blocked. So, yeah, but that is worthy of a screenshot for sure. Let's see. Boom, boom, got that one. Snoop Dogg, Sangria. All right. Now, the white woman who is being ostracized, maybe because of ageism being practiced, and she said that she is opting out of Secret Santa. Maybe that's why she's being ostracized. She's opting out, and she does not agree with the segregationist policies of the person who's running it. Now, that is another one that would bring to mind the white woman who was doing the experiments. She's trying to get a response out of people. Again, white people are not ignorant about racism. And if this is an older white woman, she is certainly not ignorant. And she knows she's not a victim of so-called segregation. His segregationist policies having me separated from the other women. And particularly for her to say this to you, we're cheating. Now, that would be another one, my shirt. Now, if you were someone classified as white, would she have used that same language to describe her situation? Oh, woe is me. Look at me, an outcast. I'm not doing the Secret Santa, that fella in his separatist, maybe. I don't know. Maybe she would have just said his ageist apologies. She doesn't like old people. The okay boomers. They don't like us. I think maybe they would have just said that. Segregationists? And then to add on to, I can't imagine he tried to do you and Dante if he tossed you all down here, threw you away. I can't imagine if he tried to do something like that. Really? Really? Okay. And I absolutely would. That would be another screen capture with the language just that she used. If she called them, did she say segregationist? Is that the verbiage that she used and why she wasn't going to participate in the Secret Santa in the email?
See, because I went up there and she had the email open. So I was like, no, just, you know, I wanted to finish reading it later on. So I printed that thing out because she sent it to me. You know what I'm saying? So I read it, and it did say segregationist. She said that it said segregationist request in separating her from the other ladies at the front counter. And she went into saying that to the basic rights that they have something. I have to read it verbatim, but it did use the term segregationist. And it was titled Secret Santa. So I guess she was using that to say that this guy, I guess, is treating her a certain way. But the other white women, they apparently have been feuding with her as well. But as you said before, like, white people, you know, they get into it with each other, but yet they still have that understanding of racism. And I shared before, I think you'll remember this, that she said when she first started that the two white women that were the favorites, if one of them were accused of killing somebody, the supervisor at that time wouldn't have said anything or something. I remember sharing, but that was the same white woman that said that.
Interesting.
So she's been going through that with them for, like, I don't know, like 7 or 8, 9 years. So they've been kind of going back and forth.
Interesting. White people, you know, they have lots of disagreements. They brawl and fight with each other about lots of things, racism related sometimes and otherwise. Interesting. I do remember that one about the covering up the murder. The metaphor is killing again. Wow. Excellent job on the printout. Are the other ladies that work at the counter where this woman who's alleging segregationist practices, are the other ladies that work at the counter with her, are they white or non-white or collection of both?
They are mainly white.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, she's just practicing white supremacy. White people playing the role of victim, oh, man, like, just, man, it's so much of that, and particularly in the workplace. They just want to sit around and whine, get out your wine and crackers and the violin, and woe is me. They just treat me like I'm a little nigger. They just throw me out here and can't let me work with other people. It's just terrible. Look at how they do. They don't even treat niggers like that. Look at you. They wouldn't treat you like this. Look at that. And then we get to another white woman, the white women, rule of the day at the courthouse. So we get to the last one. And same thing, it seems like she might be making comments just to see how people respond. I'm talking to the black folks. We'll see. You said it seemed like maybe I'll see if they're as codified as this one is. Maybe he's kind of contaminated the niggers in the office. Now we'll have a whole infection. We'll have a whole lot of them that are, you know, kind of watching what we're talking about and being mindful about words, asking these wacky questions and things. And then she gets to Mighty Joe Young, like, wait a minute, the movie about the gorilla, that's what you're talking about? Really? What is that? And again, we're at the courthouse. What does that have to do with anything? That movie came out, you know, years ago. I mean, they're talking about all kinds of things since then. Why that film of all? Why not King Kong? If we're just, you know, throwing out random films. Or remember the last time you saw Donkey Kong? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, just random monkey business. Jennifer Eberhardt, in fact, she won a genius grant for her work where white people associate black people with monkeys. That was within the last 5 years, I think, that she got that genius grant, where she said that's very common. And that's exactly what I just said, where you end up with a whole lot of those type of tacky exchanges in the workplace, where it's, uh-oh, I got a nigger here. See, when we gonna talk about Snoop Dogg? Oh yeah, you look just like Snoop Dogg. I like him. Don't you like Snoop Dogg? He's great. Yeah. Mighty Joe Young. I like that one. That was a good one. Did you see that? Gorilla. Tiger Woods. Yeah, Tiger Woods is great. Do you like Tiger Woods? That I had a different one. I was at work and they said random what? We weren't talking about television at all, nor did we work on a television set. And he says, did you know that the Jeffersons was the first television show to have an interracial relationship? And that's what I said, because I had no, like, what? What are we even? I came to check on my paycheck. What are you talking about? Like, what does Sherman Helmsley have to do with anything? I have no way of verifying that either, if, you know, that's true about the, you know, the cowbell on that one, too. And it said as though you are in support of it, but that's what I mean. These sort of tacky exchanges, which just, I'm not really accustomed to talking to the niggers, and this isn't really a good time for nigger jokes, so we'll just have to see what I'm going to talk about. Mighty Joe Young. Yes. I love the fact that other black people present, or at least the one black person present. Well, I can't say all of them. At least the black female present. You said she started to become more concise with her remarks. That is very similar to what I said today. It would start to – I'm not just going to be up here just rambling. Mighty Joe Young, that was my favorite. Everything is going to be very concise at this point. Now, the other black – hey, victims of white supremacy, what can you say? We have been exposed. The system has done a job on us. What can you say? And the entertainment committee, too, I think a lot of times we – you know. Anywho, and the white woman, see, they get to enjoy. They know what they have done to us, and they just get to sit around and, oh, man, wow. That's, if I had said that, wow, that, oh, man, she's ignorant about racism. Yeah. Even, and the black female, black self-respect, yeah, be best if you didn't say anything. I probably wouldn't have even said that. I would. That would have been one. I'll just take a mental screenshot. This here white woman. Look at that. That's, in my view, that sort of response, that's how you know I'm very informed about what I'm doing. And I am watching. I'm paying attention to see exactly how they're responding. I know he's all right. This one is right, all right. If I make, I'm going to make sure they don't infect him. See, I'm going to make sure. Make sure you all don't infect this one. This one is right where I want it to be. Mighty Joe Young. Yep, that's your brother. That's right. And we get the rest of you niggers. I'm going to keep an eye on you all. I'm keeping an eye on this female over here who doesn't have a whole lot to say. And we've been watching you for a while. Got your water on the floor right now. That is the work environment. And just, you, that's why I keep saying on time, you're not there to be talking and talking and talking. That's not the time to hop on her and, what are you trying to say? We're monkeys? What do you think this is? That's not even what it is. If you have a question, maybe. Other than that, got something from my workplace journal today. Woo! Courthouse is always a plus. Man, unbelievable. We will, I reckon, get the follow-up on the ageism and segregationist practices. Wow, just always lots to be mindful of. The cows, other folks, if you have either feedback still, if we have any black supervisors, non-white supervisors, if you have any suggestions on how to communicate with your subordinates, as they say, or if we have codification around the holidays, what to say, what to do, what not to say, what not to do to make sure it doesn't cause any, you know, problems, you don't have any risks, beef with coworkers because you threw down the mistletoe or anything like that. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks, we have missed totally. If you have commentary, proceed.
cannot be heard.
You are a little low. If you could speak up and or get a little bit closer to your receiver.
Okay. I don't know if I can get this done. Okay, can I be heard?
That is better. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, so this is under the category of finding something to say or to talk about with black people. So, suspected racist female, white female, we're at a function. It's an event for an employee that essentially only employees were at. Is after work, and I felt it was in my best interest to go, so I went. And so at a certain point, a white female walked over to me, and she said, where did you say your parents were from? And see, this is her favorite icebreaker question for me in a social setting. She said it before, she's asked, and so I told her again, and she said, well, you know, I had my ancestry done, you know, my DNA testing. And I said, oh, really? Oh, pray tell. And she said, well, I'm this percent French and that percent Euro this and this percent Euro that and this percent Indian. I don't think she said Native American. I think she said Indian. And I pause for effect. She said, I'm 10% African American. So I said, oh, really? And she said, yes, I should have known. She was enthusiastic now, and she was excited, and she said, because I wait for it. Can make good grits. So I'm standing there looking at her, and after I picked myself up off the floor, I asked her, I said, well, you know, going along with the conversation, well, how do you prepare them? And so she went for it. Oh, a little butter, a little honey, and you know, we're at an event, and it's not really the And I'm just going along looking at her, and she said, with the recipe ingredients, she goes on with it, and I said, I said, okay, I'll have to get that recipe from you. And she said, oh, great. And then she said, I was trying to slip away, and the next icebreaker came. And she said, oh, did you see the Harriet Tubman movie? And I said, I hadn't. And she said, well, you have to go. You have to. And so I said, well, all right. Thank you for the description of the slave plant, the plantation and the brutality that she gave me an overview of again. And then she added, well, you know, in addition to being 10% African American, my great, great, great grandparents were Quakers. And so I said, no way. Yes, she nodded, yes. And she was a Christian. I know she said, I'm a Christian. I said, ah, of course. How could I, you know, have missed that? Then she said, I mean, she wasn't rude or anything. She was just, this is what we were talking about, is that they don't know what to talk to us about. And so my internal conversation with myself was, she's practically making me her homie. I mean, we're partners now because of this bond that we have, because, you know, parents are Quakers, her great-grandparents are Quakers, and she's a Christian, and I'm trying to follow where she's going with all of this and the 10% African-American. And she says, and so I'm thinking, from which planet do these people come from where they think this is what they have to do to interact with us? And so it was interesting. And I wonder, you know, from time to time, how do they function on a day-to-day basis? These are a different site. And function on the work in the workplace where they just don't know how to interact with us. And it's really a bizarre, strange interaction that, you know, to talk about when we are with them and they really are at a loss. And it's actually interesting. It's fascinating. So at some point I finally caught the eye of another different coworker, and I excused myself and disappeared into the crowd. So that's my report.
Much obliged. Thank you so much for sharing that, like sucking up your time, because I think you said you were trying to escape from her when it was, you know, at, oh, man, you have got to see Tubman, which we should have a white woman on the program Wednesday. She wrote a novel, fiction, on Harriet Tubman, The Tubman Command. They've been talking about that in conjunction with the film, because it talks about her time as a scout and all that. But that's Wednesday. The Tubman, I think that's December 4th, I think. Anyway. But, yeah, she's raving about this film. You're trying to escape. And it's, I get to tell you about my Quaker great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. Wait a minute. And I'm Christian. That's another 5 minutes of talk time right there. That's where when I said, like, when I was working at the yoga studio, and it's, you know, black people can do yoga because you got all that melanin. So you can hot yoga, that is. You can handle all that heat and such. Like, oh, man. Like, I was enjoying watching the game. Lamar Jackson was doing his thing. Like, oh, man. I just, hush. Talk it all. Like, that, I mean, man, it's in the delectable Negro. Like, I feel like that's one of the ways of consumption, like just talking, even though I don't relate to you as a human being. Like, you're not a man. You're not a woman, you know. So I don't even really know how to talk to you in a civil manner. All I'm doing is just kind of, I just, what comes to mind when I think of the Negro? Monkeys, yes. Mighty Joe Young, what comes to mind when I think of the Negro? Rapist, that no good Bill Cosby. You like Bill Cosby? What do you think about him? Tiger Woods, just whatever comes to mind. Harriet Tubman, oh, yeah. Man, how many times they say nigger and Harriet Tubman. Now, I told you I don't watch those slave flicks. But if I was a racist and you want to talk about Make America Great Again, and you, she told you, oh, they beat on those niggers, man. The brutality. You got to see. She told you that's what I did for my Thanksgiving. I had my turkey, and then I went on the big screen and I watched them lash those niggers and chase those niggers, and they called them nigger over and over and over again. Why? It was great. You got to go see it. That's white woman. They're not ignorant from the mighty, which you just heard in Florida. They're not ignorant about what they're doing. And her coming to chase you down and tell you all this. And even within all that, I'm one of the good ones. I went and watched Harriet Tubman. See, for the average black person, it would be the same effect. I can say Mighty Joe Young, and you say that's your brother or whatever, you know, but you don't, there's no, wait a minute, this is a racist fit. That's not happening at all. This white woman, oh, I saw Tubman. Wow. That's what I think for most black people. Wow. What a great white woman. This is, I'll have to see it when we can swap notes. She is, I know she didn't vote for President Trump, and she probably voted for Obama 3 times. And that's what, and then it goes, and my family, we were Quakers. And my nephew, he worked with John Brown. And of course, I'm a Christian. You know, we certainly do not support mistreating the Negro. I was been right there on the Underground Railroad if I had lived during that time. I mean, in my view, all of that, like, unless this is somehow related to our job, like we do work publishing literature on Harriet Tubman, or we're in the Historical Society for Quakers or something of that nature, like, man, let's get back to work. I am sure the boss does not want to hear our film review of Tubman. I am sure they do not want to hear about our research of our Quaker ancestors and their time in North America. That's not what we're being compensated for. Like, try, and I would make that a part of counter-racist code, because that's time and energy. Like, you are not going to come and talk to me about silliness on the job. Like, they tell me when it's raise time, they tell me I'm deficient. It's things that I don't know about my job and operating this company. You are not going to sit here and waste 15, 20 minutes of my time telling me about your family ancestors and what you thought about what was on TV this weekend and your thoughts on Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman or any other random black people that come to mind. Like, if that means I got to go to the bathroom. Sorry. Yes, I know the Quakers have done a lot of magnificent things. I've been to Pennsylvania many times, and I even like Quaker oats from time to time. But I've got to go to the restroom. I'll talk to you later. Like, whoop, it would be something. I got to go get a cigarette. Yes, I started smoking. Yes. So I'm going to get my nicotine fix, and we'll talk. It, you know, the conversation has got, yes, Harriet Tubman. I will add it to my queue on Netflix, and I'll see it. But we'll talk down the road. I got work to do, you know. I got work to do. They fussed at me at my last review. I'm still on my six-month probation, and I really got to watch my time and energy. So thank you so much. I'll check out Tubman, and we'll talk soon. Underground Railroad. It just wouldn't be a whole lot of, you know, chatting about that sort of nonsense in a work basis, because I have to get that passage. It's Indelectable Negro, psychic consumption, just to sit there and talk. And these exchanges, it's not like I saw Tubman and blah, blah. It's not like she just talks for 20 seconds and then pauses and you get to talk. Oh, no, it's talk and talk and talk and talk. And like you said, I'm trying to pull away. I'm trying, like, okay, all right. Wait a minute. Let me get that right there is the consumption. That right there is the racism. Like, I know this nigga can't just say, hey, shut up. I got word to do. Shut up. Shh. I know they can't do that, so I'm just going to talk and talk and talk. Stop. You have to see. And I told other victims of racism this. If you catch, you're not talking about anything related to work. Like, hey, Mark, I've noted that you do this sometime. I love to talk. Great guy. But we have got work things to do. It would be great to talk about the wonders of the Underground Railroad and all of the horrors of slavery. But we'll have to do that on another time. Now, back to the report for our budget for the coming. Mm-hmm. It's almost 2020, you know, the budget, mm-hmm. fiscal year. We got things. Let's get back there. That's what I mean. We wouldn't have all these problems about black people not getting trained correctly if we could stay on task and not dally. Big time about that one. And just add that to Work Journal. Harriet Tubman, big fan, said nigger 65 times in that. Like, seriously, that's one of the first things I thought. They said nigger about 65 times in that film from the report. Like, yeah, this is a white woman who she probably enjoyed that quite a bit. And is probably calling you that quite a bit if she wastes 15, 20 minutes of your company time. Like, I wasted about 20 minutes of that nigger's time today talking about Harriet Tubman and all kinds of foolishness. Let's see. Other folks. If we got people for suggestions, if you are a non-white or black supervisor and or the holidays, I guess the best way trying to get through without causing more problems, like if, even if you don't celebrate and making it so that doesn't become an issue. We just said that, you know, she said she went to the bull function or what have you, so it doesn't cause problems. That's what you do. That's what you do. Make sure I get into, I think the young lady who dialed in, she said she was able to get Thai food before it was molested by others. That if being mindful, a big part of codification is being mindful. If you see, hey, this is food that I can actually eat. It's not like they brought in pig's feet and, you know, Popeye's Cheetos chicken sandwiches or what have you. They actually did bring in some food that I can eat that is reasonably healthy. And I can see that I got here first. It has not been touched. It's unsullied unless they did something to it while it's being prepared. Seems like non-white people might have prepared the food. Seems like I might be able to get food before anyone else unscathed. That sort of situation presents itself and you feel all right. Bravo. even if it's non-white people that are preparing the food, are doing the catering. And, you know, one person has been so, or if they're doing the catering, that might be change the equation too, because then no white people are, you know, touching it. Being mindful about what's happening and, yeah, but safe, advocating not eating in the work environment. People that we missed totally, if you dialed in, have thoughts, commentary to share, lines should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I was listening to, I guess, a couple of things, like the holidays. I'm an engineer, and I've been an engineer for about 22 years now. And one thing that I've noticed, and white people have always asked me, how do you celebrate this holiday? How do you celebrate that holiday? And I just have one simple answer to them. I said, I just take it as it comes. I said, you know, I do all the same things. You know, I'm just too tired to do anything. And then I go on and do my work. Because you have to also know that anything you say to any white person on your job, they're going to go back and tell all the white people everything you said. You might as well get a microphone or a loudspeaker when you're talking to a white person and just tell them everything you say, because they all are going to know what you said. And the one about the, I guess the lady was talking about, well, she's African-American and all that. And she did right. First of all, you don't want to get upset. You know, don't let it bother you. And secondly, what I would do is just listen to what she said, you know, and just ask, you know, maybe a simple few questions and say, oh, that's nice, and, you know, go on and do my work. But one thing you have to keep in mind, I keep this, you know, question in my mind. Well, if you felt that way, how did you feel about black people before you took a DNA test and an ancestry test? You know, I said, did this lady come to me and tell me who's going to get the promotions, who's going to get the pay raises? And the next thing is also, too, on these jobs, you know, and I remember Gus, you always did say about reading your manual, your workplace rules book. But one thing that I think that's also important, that's equally important, is that we as black people on these jobs have to know the chain of command. You know, because one thing that I've noticed, you know, when you want to find out who makes the decisions on why I didn't get the promotion, why I got suspended, why I didn't get the pay raises, is that one thing that I've noticed in sitting in a lot of these discrimination hearings, white people love to play games. You know, when a black person said, well, I didn't get the promotion. And then the white person will say, well, it wasn't up to me. And then you talk to another white person, they say, well, you go to the head of, you know, the CEO or president, and the CEO and president will say, well, I pushed it down to my staff. It seems like in all these discussions, you know, with white people, nobody wants to say, you know, I'm the one that made the decision. You know, they keep, you know, like playing games and moving it around, you know, like, who made the decision not to, you know, give you the pay raise and the promotions and all of that. So the best thing to do is to know your chain of command, you know, who has what authority, what person has what authority over the other white person. That's all I have to say. And I'll mute my line. Okay, go ahead.
Much obliged, sir. Right up there with policy and procedure and just being informed about your environment. Some white people are more powerful than others in a work environment sometimes. It'll be some non-white people have been allowed to have more power than others, being aware of that, because sometimes you can find the white person who has the power to solve your problem in like the next 30 seconds. And that is the best way to handle things, as opposed to wasting time and griping to someone who does not have the power to solve your problem. And that sometimes can make it worse because they can gossip and do a whole lot of other things to make the situation a lot worse. So, yeah, very important there as well. Let's see. Other folks, we've missed totally. If you have a hand up, proceed.
Hello, Gus.
Irie, yes, ma'am.
Is it okay if I make a suggestion? I know you were asking for people that hadn't spoken.
Oh, let's hear your suggestion.
Well, during my stint doing rideshare, I would have a variety of passengers in the car that were of supervisory or, I would guess, executive level. And a couple times I've heard these people, white people, mention churches. So maybe that's a way to go. Maybe seek out a coach. I would say, obviously, probably non-white, so you could get pointed from someone that has, you know, similar experiences or something. But, like, seek out a coach and maybe hack out all your questions and role play scenarios or something. But that's what I've heard these people mention when they were in my my vehicle on a ride.
Interesting. Seek out a coach and a non-white person, preferably, where you can maybe go over certain scenarios and that sort of thing. Seek out a coach. Right on. Appreciate the suggestion, Irie. Let's see. Other folks that we missed totally. If you have a hand up, if you have suggestions for what has been shared thus far, code for the holidays, suggestions for black supervisors, or if you have your own situation to share, proceed.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, retired firefighter.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings, everybody. I came on in time to hear the report of the lady that was talking about the white person who was giving her reports on her ancestry and whatnot. The type of tacky discourse that white people would do. It is challenging to us because, in my mind, I think it's logical to understand that white people know that we have to come to them for certain things. We have to make ourselves, quote unquote, approachable in that light. In other words, go places where we would more than likely, if we didn't have to, we wouldn't go. And from that standpoint, they would, certain white people would bombard us with idle conversation. I don't know. It's a two-part strategy that would take place. I think hers was pretty good, kind of like show that you're listening, but nevertheless, you're not really listening to what she's saying, other than, you know, you're hearing basically a means of the practice of racism, white supremacy, of course, you know, that sort of thing. But then there's if one does not have to entertain themselves at an after work event like there, and they find themselves there, and that white person doesn't really count on why you are there. Something like, well, what does all of that you're saying have to do with me? And don't help them with the answer. Then they will probably leave you alone. Because I think they know of the content of what they're saying to us when they talk to us. And they also, a lot of them, if not all, understand that we would either have to put up with it or basically, you know, don't say anything to what they're saying. It's just an opportunity on their behalf to feel good about themselves, be able to share such silly things with us, and it basically gives them makes them feel good in some in my opinion, in a lot of ways, it makes them feel good to be able to have that exchange with a non-white black person. And those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. I can't underestimate, or I cannot minimize the confusion that sort of speech, that sort of talk does with a non-white person. When you have a white person, they come with the ancestry part of it, and and I'm 10% black. In a system of racism, white supremacy, what does that mean? When you go to the DMV to fill out your form, 2020 has come up. They say it's census time. When you go to fill out that census, do you mark down? Well, now, according to the evidence, I mark down that I am 10% Negro. And, you know, I don't think so. I think you're going to continue doing exactly what you have been doing. I am an individual. I am a woman classified as white. As such, all of that is some rubbish about I'm 10% Negro and all the rest of it. That does not mean anything. However, saying that to the typical victim of racism, that can wreak a lot of confusion. She's not even white. You know, she's 10% Negro. Back loves Harriet Tubman. Said that was her role model was Sister Harriet. So, you know, I'm not saying every non-white person, but for a lot of black people, that can cause a lot of confusion about what it means to be white, and even the whole ancestry thing. Just the racial classifications alone cause so much confusion. Are you classified as white? Yay or nay? All the rest of it is just you're wasting time and energy. Did anybody have anything they need to get in 30 seconds before we conclude?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Really quick, Gus. This one was interesting. I had there was a white female coworker that walked up with a food product, and she said it was for her vegan son. And she said that since I've been eating the salads and stuff, she said the product is called tofurkey, like tofu and turkey. So she said she was going to make that, I guess, for Thanksgiving. So I found that one interesting, talking about vegan products.
Interesting. I have seen the tofurkey. They have a Thanksgiving, like entree. It's like a vegan entree. It's supposed to be like a turkey substitute. Where it's non-meat products. I think it has, like, stuffing. They have a lot of other products. I've tried some of their other products, not the, like, Thanksgiving thing. But I've tried some of their other products. They have, like, sliced products that you can, plant-based products that you can make a sandwich out of, and veggie plant-based sausages and other things that you can use for cook with and use in a lot of different things, pastas, all kinds of things. That are pretty tasty, but that is get a reputation for being serious, if you get a reputation for being about eating in a constructive manner, that is grand too. If, you know, that ends up being constructive. If they want to shop constructive things that you can eat, healthier food options, well, whoopee. That's better than racist jokes and ways to mistreat black people. Plant-based, right on. With that, we did our 3 hours. We will be here mañana. Compensatory calling. We'll catch up on the last 7 days. If folks have reports from survival, Thanksgiving, so-called holiday, we'll share 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will be here on Sunday. I'm teaching yoga on Sunday afternoon, and then we should have the program Sunday afternoon, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it tomorrow, or excuse me, Sunday. Azur Savage will be discussing her book, You Failed Us. He, non-white transgender student who wrote a book all about racism, white supremacy in the Seattle public school system. Wow. Looking forward. I got the audio. I posted it where he was at Elliott Bay Bookstore and was doing a discussion about the book and racism, basically. And I was able to ask my question. I posted it online. You can listen. It's about a 60-minute interview, but very, very interesting. We'll give you an idea of some of what we will have in store for us this coming Sunday. If you are still visiting with family, friends, relatives, you can all sit around, get some pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, have some leftover chitlins, gravy, biscuits, and listen. It's particularly if they have children. This is a 16-year-old who wrote a book about racism and used the term white supremacy. Sunday. Whew, looking forward. With that, much obliged for folks participating. Hope you made it through Nigger Friday safely. Sobriety would be best, especially this weekend. Sobriety checkpoints will be out in full force in North America, I'm sure. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. In addition to being sober, if you are driving, you are not on the cell phone. Just trying to do the little things to stay as safe as we can under extremely dangerous conditions for black people. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Help us remember to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cows signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.